Yo, y'all remember that old Schoolhouse Rock joint, Three's the Magic Number? Or better yet, the De La Soul joint, you know, off 3 Feet High and Rising? It's something special about the number three. It's weird, but I don't know. When three comes together, magic things happen. In this case, you got three of the dopest cats holding it down on the radio front, coming together, bringing you guys Three's the Magic Number. It's like a worldwide internet thing going down. Every last Monday of the month, 9 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. That's right, I had to look it up on yahoo.com to see what GMT stands for. That's GMT, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It goes down at 4 p.m. So get your clocks and all that good stuff right. Synchronize it. Make sure you show up and listen. It's some progressive hip-hop music going down by three of the best in the business. Special shout-outs to my man, Menace, Mr. Montana, and special shout-out because he's a homegrown cat from MD like myself, Peter Rosenberg, a.k.a. DJ PMD, representing Low Budget Crew, representing taking it back to WPGC, representing Hot 97, representing WMUC. What? Holla at your boy, man. This is the longest drop y'all ever had in the history of the show, but damn it, you better not edit it. Peace.
Just love to keep you in my mind.
Yo, check this out. This is Chuck, and you're now tuning to Conspiracy Worldwide. No red tape, no white tape, no black tape, just pure hip-hop with no profit involved. Started the revolution. Conspiracy continues to fight. Music and the message. That's right.
This is Black Panther, and you listen to 333 is the Magic Number with Peter Rosenberg, Menace, and Mr. Montana every last Monday of the month at 9 p.m. on Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, RosenbergRadio.com. www.djblackpanther.com.
Good evening, Peter. Good evening, Menace.
Yo.
Yes.
You're both ready? Then another third edition. Three's the magic number.
Yeah, man.
I'm ready, man. I'm ready. It's the good time in the world. It's a good time for hip-hop. Let's do this.
We're going to be talking about that tonight. We're also going to be talking to a few special guests. Of course, we've got the legendary LP is going to be with us on the show on this edition tonight. So really looking forward to that, plus much, much more. Let's start it. Three the Magic Number, Conspiracy, Rosenberg Radio.
Everybody get up, wave your hands from side to side. Put some rhythm in your stride from slide to glide. Rep wherever you from and get numb. Drink whatever you drink, we get numb. Yeah, my mic sound nice, check one. Sucker MCs better respect, son. I give your face a C-section. So every day you see me in your reflection. Rusty jokes in my stage show lava. Float on the crowd like a stage show diver. Rule the world with a pen and a mic. Gangsta on the street, put it in the heights. I got 7 Mac 11s, 28 K's, 16 and 16s, and 40 SK's. Now when I say Rusty, you scream Chucks, Rusty Chucks. Vic bringing the hook.
When I'm on stage spitting that fire,
get up,
burning it down, taking you high.
Get up,
I wanna see you wild out. Everybody get up,
get up,
everybody get up. When I'm on stage spitting that fire,
get up,
burning it down, taking you high.
Get up,
I wanna see you wild out. Everybody get up.
Get up,
everybody get up.
Wave your hands from left to right. Till the cartel mob start rep for life. Vic so nice, flow extra ill. More crews, more flicks, more sets to kill. See, I let you chill, but you don't rep the real. Now it's ratchets, hammers, and sketch the pills.
You don't wanna take it further than hip hop. You don't wanna be within range of my clip pop. You don't wanna come out my shit drop, putting up nothing but a brick and a flip flop. Nigga boot camp clicked up, damn. Nigga USA Bucktown. Stomp motherfuckers into a cone. You must have had too many of them Corona. He ain't know about that BK book. Rusty Chuck Vic bringing that hook.
When I'm on stage spitting that fire,
get up.
Taking you higher. I wanna see you wild out. Everybody get up.
Get up.
Everybody get up. When I'm on stage spitting that fire,
get up.
Burn it down. Taking you higher.
Get up.
I wanna see you wild out. Everybody get up.
Get up.
Everybody get up.
Throw your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care.
Let me ready to rock with my boy Vic Flair. Somebody say oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
And you don't stop.
Rockin' to that bang bang boogie, I pom pom a rookie. Niggas see me on the street, G status like Tookie. Smoking that sticky, that gooey, that cookie. Headbang a boogie, that scammer, that pussy. I'm on the stage with my fo-fo blazing. Luther Vandross, I'm so-so amazing. Dip-dip diving, so-so salizing. Spitting them birds, I'm vocalizing. You ain't know about that BK crook. Rusty Chuck Vic, bringing that hook.
When I'm on stage, spitting that fire.
Get up!
Taking you high.
Shout going out to each and every single person logged on and listening right now.
Get up when I'm on
all the podcast crew.
Get up, burn the
how you all doing?
Get up. I wanna see you well out. Everybody get up.
Get up.
Everybody get up.
Huge shout going out to all the people on the MSN right now. We're chatting to you live and direct.
Yo, the journalist back again burning this. Just as quick as the urban you live is furnishing the empty penthouse before it get rent out, vent out. My frustration coming up from the basement like bad sewage. You knew it, the night in funky armor, barring all clowns and ducks. You think they sound as tough, just round them up and I'ma pound them in dust. Me and Oak go back way before I had the nappy pro and had a cold jack. Come and get your dome tap with a cold rap. Coming straight out the soul shack. You know where my home's at. That's Oakland, Richmond's the district I roam at. Zone at with a new twist. DL, don't you wish you could do this? I know you do.
Yeah. What mama's little mistake became a grave. Deep in the jungle, I hang with apes. Spit it like this for language sake. Come short with cake, I maim your face. I swing razors wild. I make the father above and claim his child. Super fly to loot the pie, the cake, the bread, the cheese. Make them scrape their knees and do the eye when I request. Monica, but she won't hide the dress. She a true chick, hitting old school spots with a new. He like who this? She like who you? Pimp game boo boo, and you old fire like a foo boo. You ain't got that, shut up. Peace to OBO and Hyro.
What up? What up, guilty? Now we do this. Oakland to Detroit. He's to the architect. Let's go. Girls kicking with O and wanna get in his pants. I'm from the city of Doe. You Yosemite Sam. You like Snippy the I like Slippy.
Drake jacket.
We polar opposites. That's what I'm saying, son. Who more young and restless are watching the view? I'm cocking and shoot. Squad with the loose cops in pursuit. Visualize adrenaline. Shot through the roof. But it ain't the wild on television. I'm in the booth. See, I make the crowd roar like Roberto Clemente. Puffin' purple sensei. I'm twerk about 6 weeks. Follow my instincts. I'm the lip sync. Bo brought a sucker. Like a star in the bench league. She speaks Farsi and sparks and hemp seed. I don't Barbie, I'm hardly intrigued. Me and my army smoke like Paul McCartney. Marching to a different drum, so get your gun. One.
I hear you talking. He said, come on in, man.
started the show there, Peter, talking about it's a beautiful time for hip-hop. Explain, what do you mean by that?
You know, like I told you guys when we first did our first show a couple months ago, I mean, to have it be such an amazing time politically in the country, you know, inherently makes it an exciting time for hip-hop, you know, sitting on the verge of such a potential, you know, change in the social and political landscape is just makes everything exciting, man. There's a good energy right now.
I mean, were you aware that recently there was a study and a survey that proved that Diddy had made people vote? You know, apparently the study found that, you know, initiatives like Vote or Die resulted in an increase in 2004 voter participation. Did you hear about that?
I hadn't heard that, but it doesn't surprise me. You know, I think it was probably, you know, hard to show that, you know, those campaigns like that, you know, could have helped early on. As much as I hate Diddy and really find him to be a bigger douche, I find Diddy to be a more obnoxious douchebag every day. But,
yeah,
you know, it was seeing that those, you know, a lot of people really put in effort, I'm not surprised that, you know, now it paid off. But I think at the same time, you know, and I don't know what a study like that is based on, but so much of this has to do with the fact that people are just energized by Barack Obama. I mean, the fact is, no matter what Diddy was doing or anyone else was doing, if there wasn't a candidate like Barack Obama, people wouldn't be excited to vote.
I mean, from an outsider looking in, obviously, we're not seeing, you know, the impact being made directly. I mean, what about Russell Simmons' involvement? How effective do you think Russell Simmons' Hip Hop Action Network rallies have been?
I really don't know. You know, I just don't know the kind of people that they're tapping into. You know, I'm like, what kind of effect they have on youth, potential like youth voters. But I mean, I'm sure they could be. Those guys have an awesome network. You know, they have the potential to get at a lot of people. But I mean, to be honest, before I guess we start celebrating, I guess we should wait and see what happens a week from tomorrow, and we'll have a better idea.
Cool. So for us, you know, and the listeners listening right now, the main news, the big news is that, you know, you actually have an EP on the way. I mean, what's good with the Rosenberg and Odyssey EP dropping next week? You know, recorded when one day, entirely produced by Low Budget Screws, Odyssey. What's the recording process been like, man?
Well, I mean, it's been awesome, man. Like, it's just really been, this entire EP was done in one day. And it was just a crazy experience. Like, we got a studio, a man, Static Selecta, hooked up a studio for us, and, you know, we set up Odyssey, and basically I brought through all these artists, you know, and only one or two of which was really aware of Odyssey's work. And Odyssey just played beats for cats, and then, you know, they went and wrote their rhymes right there, and then came right back in the booth and rhymed. So, you know, at one point, we had all these different artists hanging out in the same space, you know what I mean, in different rooms, and sometimes in the same room, like all these artists just hanging out and writing and recording. It was pretty crazy.
Is this an indication of any more work with you in Odyssey and Low Budget then?
I'm really trying to get back on my music game, you know, so like Odyssey was the first person I thought of because I think he's incredible and not nearly well known enough, especially in the States. You know, like internationally, I think cats have a lot more respect for Odyssey than cats do here because cats aren't aware. So that was my first thought. On top of that, Odyssey's work ethic's insane. And I also have my brother still manages an artist named Ken Starr at a Low Budget, who's crazy with it, and he just did a new joint that I heard the other day, produced by Mr. Porter. That's crazy. So I'm just excited to be doing stuff with music again. And Odyssey and I already recorded another four songs last week with more artists. So you know, we'll see if it leads to like a full album or something, but like the songs we're getting done, man, like we just, all in all, we've now done 10 songs, and they're 10 of the better songs I've heard in a long time. I mean, Odyssey seriously has an endless supply of ridiculous beats. So I'm amped, and hopefully this is a sign of me like getting to do more music shit, because I didn't realize it's, I was doing it, how much I miss like being in the creative process of music more.
Yeah, and the new single's crazy, man. You know, props on that. Saigon's definitely on top form. Lil Fame just puts the icing on the cake.
Yeah, man, that was crazy. And like Lil Fame was just hanging out and kind of helping Saigon out. And then he's like, yo, you want me to jump on this chorus? And we were like, yes, please. So that was a crazy experience, you know. At one point in the studio that day, there was, you know, like Lil Fame, Saigon, Buckshot, Nikki Jean, this girl Nikki Jean, who sung on Hip Hop Save My Life by Lupe, who's she's an incredible writer and singer. And all these people were there at the same time working. And like, I don't know, man, it's hard to explain. You guys got to come sometime if you're ever stateside. Like, it's just an incredible vibe to have all those people like recording at one time. It's crazy. It's so fun.
Definitely. How do you guys feel about, you know, EPs today? What even counts as an EP? I remember, you know, for years people have been debating if or not, you know, Illmatic is an EP or an album. What do you guys think an EP is today? I mean, how do you think it's changed?
Well, technically the rule on an EP is supposed to be under 10 songs.
Right.
You know, I can certainly see why people would claim that Illmatic's an EP. Certainly in terms of, the overall length of the Illmatic album, it kind of has the feel of an EP, but most people consider that to be an album. For me, I always considered 6 songs the ideal EP. That was just for me. Like, I think about the Intoxicated Demons EP and all Sold Out and things that fall within that 5 to 7 songs. Like, I always think of that as like an EP. An extended play single, and this really has that vibe. Like the thing that I'm dropping Tuesday is just 6 songs. We're gonna have some interludes in there and shit like that, but 6 actual tracks, and it's, I don't know, man. Like, I've been listening to it since we recorded it, the rough versions of it, and it came out pretty awesome, man.
All right, cool.
I know you two will love it. Like, you two are gonna fucking bug off of it.
Yeah. I can't wait to get our hands on it so we can start playing it on the Friday show as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that'll be excellent. So look forward to that. Okay, let's keep things moving. 3's the magic number.
The dope on and climb the sharp hollow head and splatter your abdomen. You sick to your stomach, wondering what is happening. Marksman specialist to keep your regimen vanishing. Full metal jacket, deadliest when it's crashing in. Platinum medalist, quarter rock, Latin skin. 151 raw dog, we keep on panicking. You in the wrong district, claiming you all misfit. You never toss biscuits, you with the law snitching. I say you all bitching, you up in God's kitchen. Big flames burn off your face to leave the gauze dripping. You are a scarred victim, up in the dark. And you done lost fishing. I'm at the bar drinking. You ain't at all spitting. Close the curtain. This is Illadel, the Rock City, death is certain. You know we rock this. Yeah, we got this. From Illadel to Rock City with the hotness. You know it's on and popping. Once we get to popping, we air them out. No doubt, Quest get the chopping. So all these corny motherfuckers, what it pop supposed to sound like? It's planetary, baby, dog, I'm outrageous. My status the baddest every time I'm blessing the stages. My blood is the ink, caressing the pages. We gon' do it to the world, say OS is the greatest. I take time out, I'm obscene. I got dreams of pushing hot beams. Where the cops scheme, I'm too dangerous. I'm making aim for this. I guarantee you'll be bleeding, don't try to aim at this. I'm so nuts for the beat, ain't no escaping this. I'm a demon, intoxicated, your favorite. I take steps towards Armageddon, armed with weapons. A few grenades and flex bombs, calm your henchmen. I'm a sniper, targeting those who violate. I make music, my roots started in fire escapes. I see you lie at your weight, they can't help but laugh. It ain't right, but dead bodies, they get me gas. You know we rock this, yeah. Yeah.
nickel, nigga. I'm up in the office, chilling, giving orders, nigga. I fuck with them bosses. Enough of this talking. If I ain't here to be dying a lion, it big. I retire a pioneer, but I do not slip on some hip hop shit. Big clock been popping, it's on me with the hot hip. The white five with the pipe job, looking like a guy coming from out of the smoke with the Christ eyes. I ain't no nice guy, and I don't like lies. I put my foot in your ass, now you a tripe pie. I handle my hands like mama swearing. I knock your ass in the next week like a time machine. And I got a Supreme, we pounding out some body. Just me and y'all bound down like I shot at the scene. But y'all niggas can stay on y'all knees, we stay on our P's. We right on our cues, nigga, I pray when I squeeze.
No question that the internet has definitely changed the whole money-making scenario with the new music. I mean, what about this EP then, Peter? I mean, how are you planning to shop it? I mean, how are you planning to sell it nowadays with hard copies kind of taking a back step or a back seat, I should say, in comparison to the download culture that we've got now in hip-hop?
Well, this one, we just decided to fucking give it out, man. Like, You know, like, I just really wanted, I'm not trying to sound corny, like, I just need people to hear the music, but I just wanted people to hear the music. Like, I would love, I mean, honestly, now that we've done more songs, it's so dope that I'm starting to think that we should try to make money, but out of the gate, we just thought, let's just give this away to people and hope that people will check it out and dig it. And, you know, yeah, there are a lot of ways you can make money that are actually good. I don't know about physical. Like, you're right. It's definitely hard for artists to make money on physical product these days. But certainly digitally, there are ways to get it done. But I thought for this first one, the smartest thing to do would just be to make it very official. There's cover art. There's everything. It's going to be very official. But just completely give it away for people to just check it out and see if they like it. You got to prove something to people. You got to prove to people that there's a reason they should to buy your product and the steps to pay for it.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I guess that you're in the situation where money isn't a necessity anyway with this EP. It's not like this is all I do, this is the only way I'm going to be able to make money out there, or you don't have any managers around you with the whole thing. There's no middlemen, are there? It's just you making music, like you said, and then you're just going to put it out there. Simple as that.
Exactly. There's no one to deal with. I have a job. I don't need the money. The artists, you know, are doing it A, because of our relationship, and B, they know it's going to get played on the radio. So between the radio and the relationships, there's really no one pushing for money. So it makes it easy to just like be able to make pure music, which is incredible.
Yeah, and I say it's a rarity, but I don't think it is, you know, to be honest. I think there's a lot of artists doing what you're doing with this EP.
Oh, absolutely. I think there are tons of people. I think the only difference between what I'm doing and what they're doing is maybe the cohesive a plan of attack, or at least somewhat cohesive plan of attack, in terms of, because it's running through me and I'm a radio personality in a good position, it gives it more of a built-in outlet as opposed to it just being something that pops up and a few people download. This is like the reason I wanted to make it sound like an album, like a real project with a date that it comes out. You know, is to build energy and excitement and make it feel like it's a real release. Too often, cats waste good material by just like dropping it on some random Saturday afternoon. You know what I mean? Like, I'd rather set it up a little bit, you know, give it a date and drop it all at once. So like, there's at least an energy behind it that's all focused, if that makes any sense.
What about this new video, Making Waves? I mean, is this the first directing video you've done?
Yeah, it's the first thing I did that wasn't like me making a joke video, yeah.
true.
No cheese or, you know, or cheap jokes. And I have a couple of friends who have a little production company, and they're fucking great, as you could tell, like on the cameras, they're crazy with it. So these dudes are out of DC, and I always just liked the song, and I always had an idea of how the video would look. So it's pretty simple, you know, it's nothing, there's no Tarantino shit, but we just put it together and came out pretty good. So yeah, I'm definitely trying to do more videos, and I'll probably end up doing a video or two off of this EP.
Yeah, well, I can't wait on this show to be able to, for us both all three of us even to reveal these tracks from the EP. It's going to be
Man. Well, I definitely want to. I chose a few that I definitely want to play today, man. So we'll bless.
All right, cool. Let's keep things moving then. Three's Magic Number. We're going to be talking to Adisa, hopefully, very, very shortly. We're going to be talking politics with Adisa.
Cool, cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull the plug, then I jet. Then I jet.
Don't forget, you can get in contact with us. Simply Google Rosenberg Radio or Conspiracy Worldwide Radio.
First things first, y'all not fucking with me. I'm so far from a sucker MC. From off stage, I spot the shit that a sucker MC. Finish the show and grab that off like you coming with me. The name Joe, E-double-L-O-R-T. It I-Z with it I-Z. You can find me on a Brooklyn block. Hand on my crotch, cannon cocked. I ain't shook the pop. You forget the sons of a son. I mush your pops. Where I'm from, we don't pay off them crooked cops. We throw shots, really turn them into crooked cops. We pioneer back blocks with rock stashed in that sock. Not that sock, that sock. Cash, I snatch, rock, rap, hot, my mascot box. 4-4 Bulldog, yo, sad, not walk again. They say when it rains, it pours. My life real, it never even drizzled in yours.
Cool, cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull the plug, then I jet. Then I jet. Cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull the plug, then I jet. Then I jet.
Next things next, I'm rhyming man, sign them checks. I got goals way behind in debt, kind of deck. Get ghosts, I'm just want bread. I want toast with the jam on it. Nucleus joins your jam on it. You foul, I'ma end on it. Wild like a pandemic, spread it in music, all mankind get it. The lanes can't follow anywhere I'm headed. I'm right there, wrong, regret it, I'm bullheaded. I meet your fiance, nah, there's no wedding. Just a dear John letter, like I had to do better. I threw it upright, cool, I don't like to get uptight. But something might pop, make the right guy. I drop for the boys, for the birds, for the block. This is what's wet, this is that set it off. This is that hut hut, fire off the line. My entire design, displaying 5 years, retiring fine. Yeah, that's right, I'm so
cool. Cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug, then I jet. Then I jet. Then I jet. Cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug, then I jet. Then I jet.
Mike Tibble, the haters make them pull back the bow on a coat. Fire that off, you feel a joke. Take quotes from something I spoke. I glow and I glow behind the times. Enemy lines, they catch a catapult. They ain't made, they a myth. I bet I treat them like a Jedi. Youngling, I'm a stiff. And they weak when the shield lifts. Still a little stiff, tell them stretch it out. You dealing with your destiny now, a hook.
Cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug. Then I jet, then I jet. Cause I don't get upset. I kick a hole in the speaker, pull a plug, then I jet. Then I jet. One after the other one, then I make another one. Cool, cool, cool. This I'm in. E-F-F-E-C-T. Cool, cool. A smooth operator, I'm operating correctly. But cool, cool. One after the other one, then I make another one. Cool.
Happens to be the sound of Joel Ortiz and Butter Versus. The track is called Rock Mics. Now, we're still getting in the studio from last Friday's show, from the Halloween show last Friday. We're still getting people's stories, the scariest supernatural things that happen to people. And also a lot of skeptics. A lot of people don't believe in things that go bump in the night, etc. Boo! But I have a question for you both, right? Very quickly, we'll round this one up quickly. But have you ever had a brush with the supernatural side? Have you ever had a situation in your life where your hair stood on end and you just could not explain it to this day? Menace.
Man. I've had nights where I thought I've seen fins and heard fins and, you know, feel fins on my leg and stuff. That's about as far as it goes. And I've had, you know, moments where I've had the same reoccurring dream and just weird stuff like that.
But no, weird stuff no definite kind of, oh, I was in my bedroom once, I opened my eyes and this old lady walked through the wall. Nothing like that then, no big event.
No, nothing like that, no. Mm-hmm. No,
what about yourself, Peter? Have you ever had a brush with the dark side of the moon?
No, I I never have, although I'm really into anything horror, you know, scary, any of that shit, I'm into it. But from the way it sounds, Montana, I feel like you have, so I want to hear about the old lady who watched in your room.
Okay, I'll tell you. Thanks for asking. Well, it wasn't me, sorry. It was my wife. She was in bed. She opened her eyes. It was just early morning. She opened her eyes. The light was coming through the curtains a little bit. And she heard footsteps walking up the landing towards the bedroom door. And she reached over and she saw that I was in bed for once. I was actually in bed. And the door handle went down. She reached up in bed, looked. The door handle went down. The door opened. And from behind the door, an old lady walked in. She never didn't know this old lady. It was, you know, there's no punchline coming. She didn't know the old lady. She walked up with a deadpan expression and just stood there looking at her. And why she couldn't scream, she couldn't move. She was just so scared that she just went under the covers and then just looked, peeked up again, and the door was shut and the old lady had gone.
And she's sure she was awake for this?
Absolutely. She claims she was wide awake. It wasn't one of those old hag stories of, you know, these things holding people down and, you know, in bed and stuff. No, it was... She was wide awake. She was woke up. She was just trying to get back to sleep. And that's what happened. It came into the room. And yeah.
You're freaking me out. You're freaking me out, bro.
Well, to be honest, I don't know if you know this, Peter, but on our show, the Friday show, because we broadcast this side from that location I'm talking about, from this house, we've had all sorts of strange things happen on the show. We've had people reporting laughter, like an old man laughing. On there. Now, it wasn't something we were doing. It wasn't a hoax or anything. It was something that we'd not noticed this side, but people said, you know, who is that person laughing? There's been all sorts of things that actually gone through the web when we've been broadcasting in this house. It's quite active, as they would say on Ghostbusters.
Wow. That's sort of why didn't your wife wake you up?
I don't know. This is a bit I don't understand. I'm not sure I would fully believe it. I think maybe... Just like you hinted at, I think she was having one of those, you know, them occurrences that people have where they're half awake and half asleep, and they hallucinate and they see something. And I think she was in that state that she thought she was awake, but she wasn't fully awake and it was an hallucination. That's what I think it was. But there's that much going on in this house that you'd have to think that there might be some truth to it with all the other things that happen.
Wow. No, I believe it. I'm just glad it's never happened to me.
Mm. I know. And I remember when it did happen. Man, you know, late at night when it's pitch black downstairs, I don't know if you've ever done this. I don't know if it's just me, but do you ever, like, if now and again, wherever you are, like at home or something, now and again, if you are on your own downstairs or something, do you ever get this feeling just to run? You just have to run quickly upstairs. I don't know if either of you ever get it, but I was having that badly after this, because obviously when you've been told there's an old lady in the house and you don't know who it is, I mean, that is quite, it is quite disturbing.
Isn't it funny that an old lady is like the least scary thing in the world, but in the context of being in your house in the middle of the night, it's fucking fuck.
I know. Yeah, absolutely. Because you don't invite them. You know what I mean? That's the strange thing. Strange thing about it. But anyway, thank you for all your stories. Just Halloween. What does Halloween mean to people in America, Peter? Because obviously Halloween is kind of it's a newsagent's thing. There's a few stickers up. You buy a little pumpkin head thing or whatever. But what does it mean in America? I know it's a huge deal out in America.
Dude, I'll tell you one thing. Well, it is a huge deal. I mean, it's a fun day for everyone. Everyone always likes it, and I love it because of the time of year that it is. And to be honest, I miss it at home, D.C., more so than New York, because the weather's a little nicer in D.C. But in New York, it is the night of the sluts. Kid you not. Like, I mean, New York, first of all, has the most beautiful women in the world, and the women dress in ways that I can't even describe on Halloween. It is absolutely crazy. It's something to see.
Night of the Sluts. I mean, I've seen the film, but I've never heard Halloween called.
It's so much better in real life. The movie doesn't do it justice.
Right? No. I thought the ending was good though. But the Night of the Sluts, man. I mean, is this thing that America reckons? Does New York know that the women on Halloween dress like sluts, or is it just something that if you broke the news to them, they just go, oh yeah, we've not really noticed. We do. I mean, is it an accepted norm? You have to dress like a slut. If you're a woman.
Well, it's an accepted norm that it's okay to dress like a slut. You know, like, I personally asked my girlfriend, will you not dress like a slut? You know, as a favor. Like, I know you can. You have the right to. Will you not for me? But, yeah, it's a fun night, man. I mean, like, people, like, it's amazing. Last year it was fucking freezing. And yet I was driving around the city And I mean, on every corner, it's just lined up with girls dressed just retarded. Like, it's crazy.
What? How do they look? What do they wear?
Like, they wear whatever. Okay, it's like this. Basically, whatever sort of costume idea they have, yeah, you can just kind of put the word slutty in front of it.
Yeah.
Like they're not a nurse; they're a slutty nurse.
Yeah.
And they're not an angel; they're a slutty angel. Like, everything that they have just involves taking off clothes. So there's just a lot of skin, no matter how cold it is. Mm. And girls in New York, like I said, I've never been to the UK. Like, I've never spent any more than 5 hours in the UK, so I have no idea. Girls in New York are, like, very thick in general. Like, in terms of, I'm a boob guy myself. I love me some boobs. And chicks here just, I don't know what's in the water here, dude. It's maddening.
Mm. No, I mean, in the UK, you say you've only been here for 5 hours. I mean, if you're a boob man, you'd love the women in the UK because they've got huge boobs, right down to the knees. But unfortunately, most of their stomachs meet the end of their boobs. So it does change things. But yeah,
you're such an asshole.
Thanks.
Whoa.
Only joking. Halloween, what does it mean to you? The night of the sluts.
Gumbo genetic frame, jumbos for cheap on B. Skyscraping on through NYC. Freewaying through my LA streets like old school Crenshaw. Sunday nights after Venice Beach. Call it dope rhymes and DVD. Free P. Hypocrites got us 1 foot in World War III. Taxpaying citizens getting stressed by the beast. Rival one West Coast artist, rest in peace. I'm heaven high, 1 to 10, 11 high rated. Rocker high, stepping through the fire, repping dilated. Alignment of the stars, I even see it fall. From my observatory, I focus and see it all. If I could hold the mic, hold the can, see the wall, touch the wax and see the stage, and keep waiting for me to stall. I don't rest, but I'm definitely blessed. I'm Wild West and one of the next. The last is first.
Transforming pain into millions, the millions. Transforming pain into millions.
The last is first.
Transforming pain into millions, millions.
First shot, last. The future sight, saw another sound. Shock G was right. It's a digital underground. Money B was right too. 23 took flight. High school years took mics. My words battle. I'm unlike you. Despite a couple forks in the road, another episode. Apocalypse a couple years away. We run right through. Barricades get broke. The marathon gets ran. Each day the moon sets. The sun shines new. And when I move on, I'm done times two. I get my groove on and you gon' jet. Forget who played who. I'm the last of a dying breed. Just found a cure for it. So jump off my jock. DP, the new award tour. It's top notches. We cop watches, but can't buy time. Possessed from these objects. I'm on some next. Promises kept. The far left. I'm part of the next. The last is first.
Transforming. Pain in the millions. Transforming pain into millions.
The last is first.
Transforming pain into millions. Millions.
First shot, last. The last is first.
I always paint a real negative picture of, you know, British people, don't I? We were asking a couple of weeks back on our show what the image of British people is. I mean, do you think there is a fixed image, Peter, out in America of what a British person is, like a stereotype about British people?
I don't know. I'm a bad person to ask because I always have, you know, I get a lot of pleasure from parts of British culture, so I don't know. I have generally positive stereotypes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a stereotype as far as women goes, like the one that you paint of them all having three teeth and boobs down to their feet.
Mm-hmm.
I think the only stereotype that people ever held on to was bad teeth.
Really? British people have got bad teeth?
Yeah.
Wow.
You never heard that before?
I've heard, I thought I'd heard them all, but I never heard that one, no.
What, Amanda said, you heard that before?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I'm not saying it's true, but yeah, I've heard it for sure, man.
I don't think there is one that really is like out there like that. I don't think there really is one.
Mm. No. I mean, we've got ours for American people. You know,
okay, what are the main ones for Americans? I mean, I'm sure I can guess most of them.
Go on, have a go. Try guessing. What do you think they're going to be?
Fat.
Okay.
Stupid. Close-minded.
Okay.
I don't know. Racist? I don't know.
I don't know if that's there, but I think the other two would be, yeah, I think that's conveniently the British people like to turn their nose up in a British kind of way, I think, at American culture and go, oh, typical Americans. And I think those two things you said there together would be. I'll tell you what it is. You see, when we go to Europe and that, we visit Europe on holidays and things, it's like you can. The British are quiet. British people on holiday are very quiet. It's the American tourist you can always hear from like about eight streets away, and it's not a good advertisement, you know what I mean, for American people. And I think that's what we cling on to still. Our experiences with the American people tend to be on holiday.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. If I was not American, no, I am American, and I still think horribly of Americans. So, I mean, I think by and large, Americans get a bad rap, and even the people that we sort of that Americans sort of think of as being low class or whatever, I think by and large are good people. But the representation that you get of Americans is pretty shitty.
Mm, yeah, it is. And of course, you're not helped, are you, by your leader?
No, not so much.
No,
not so much. But think about that. That's why if Obama wins, I think stereotypes about America will actually improve so much.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, Menace.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned the whole stereotyping thing. Did you ever see that recent Brian Byron, should I say, Hertz project about 50 Cent and Obama and their differences, how alike they are?
No.
Basically, it was just focusing on the issues of gender and the stereotypical, you know, depictions of black men, and it was really just, like I say, comparing Barack and 50 Cent. It's pretty interesting. It's out there on the net if you want to check it out.
Yeah, that sounds very interesting, because I have to be honest, on the surface, I didn't think of many similarities.
Yeah, check it out. It's by Byron Hertz. It's a video on the net.
Hmm.
All right, very cool.
So, that was moving us then towards the topic then of course, the elections, and one of the many positive things that would come from Barack Obama being elected as president would be that idiot stereotype would go, wouldn't it, from your leadership. I mean, that's what you've got now. You've got a clown in control, you know, and conveniently a clown. I think he's a great scapegoat, George Bush, and he has been, hasn't he? That, you know, all the things that they do is kind of blamed upon him because he's such an idiot that he just becomes the scapegoat for any new policy. I wonder how things will work with Barack Obama. He seems much, much sharper than George Bush.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things. Especially, it'll be especially interesting considering the set of problems that Obama would inherit, you know what I mean, in this administration because of how horrible the country is right now and how horrible the economy is. So there would be an even greater level of pressure for Senator Obama to deal with because, you know what I mean, this country is fucked right now.
Mm. Yeah, all we see out here is the news and the representation through the media about America and the American economy. But we're getting this thing in the UK at the moment. They're calling it the credit crunch. I don't know if it's called the same thing in America. And I just wonder, what in your opinion, then, from your account, why is your country so fucked, as you put it? Why is it? I mean, where do you see it? Do you see it in your pocket? Do you see it in the money you're earning? Has the tax gone up? How is it evidence that your country's fucked?
Oh, man. I mean, I'd say the main thing now is jobs. I mean, people are just losing jobs right and left, especially in a city like New York, where, you know, so much business is done here, and so many people involved in investment on any level are losing jobs. I mean, everyone knows someone who's lost their job. And these are people who traditionally you sort of expect to have jobs. I mean, that sounds horrible to say, but, you know, this is the educated, making money, usually doing well crowd that are shit out of luck on jobs these days. And then, of course, you have, you know, energy prices, which are ridiculous. It costs a ton to drive. It costs a ton to fly. You know, anything related to energy prices is up. You know, it's expensive to go to the grocery store right now. You know, everything, there's a crunch everywhere right now.
Yeah. And, of course, we're told it started in America with the banking system and the economy there, and then it's gone all across the world, this credit crunch. And I don't know if it is media hype or if there is something genuinely there that we need to be worried about, which could be on the way, you know, an absolute recession, as they're calling it out here in the UK.
Well, that definitely seems like what's about to be happening here. I mean, it feels like that's where we're headed.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, we're headed to talk to LP a little bit later on the show, and also get into those new tracks off Peter Rosenberg's EP as well, so I'm looking forward to that. Three's the magic number. If you have any opinions on anything we're talking about on this show, let us know.
My man Mariah, and it is abandoned. Police won't understand why I carry a cannon. But if I left for good, then they probably would panic. So I gotta lift the hood up like an auto mechanic. See, stunting is a habit, so get like me. But don't step on my J's, named after Spike Lee. The back of P.E. was saying power to the people. I was on the block selling powder to the people. I knew it was illegal and I might catch a sentence, but I had to give mine no matter the consequences. That's why I get offended when they think I'm an amateur. So I give them the finger like I'm getting a manicure. And how could we ignore that we're in a recession? So ain't no time for recess when I'm in a session. The last thing I'm stressing is the next man's hope. She can even be my buddies like De La Soul. Cause before my heart sing, who gon' save my soul? It'll probably say good, I get to save my dough. Cause everywhere I go, including the deep south, they say I'm on fire like I'm leaving Shaniqua's house. And I would be a liar not to say when they speaking out. They talking to the choir that rehearsed at the preacher's house. And there's a difference between reaching and reaching out. Cause in my region, reaching makes you rule every reason now. And for that reason alone, I fall asleep with the chrome and wake up a few feet from the throne. So like Nas, Book of Rhymes, I'ma tell you just one thing. One love, one might, but there can only be one king. It's the cause for there can only be one king. There can only be one king.
No. Dedicated to my friends. No.
Witty to the art of the shit. It's no comparison. I stand alone, sparking a split. Straight out the heavens, stars form cloudy. Deep concentration enables me to detect the spirits that surround me, protected with an aura that'll keep me out the county. Respected, I'm on the next. Y'all coons gon' have to crown me. Cause soon, dudes is bounty like sitting ducks lounging. My goons abuse thousands on jewels and cruise proudly. From T-Dot to Maui, from Cape Town back to Cali. It's no escaping now. Watch me take down the valley. Sam Joaquin, man versus machine. Microphone fiend with an M16. Got it on again, real rap, sweet 16s to push your wig back, now dig that. We ahead of the rest, raw sh- from the east to the west. Now bump this shish when you're releasing your stress.
Hey yo, it's on again, real rap, sweet 16s to push your wig back, now dig that. We ahead of the rest, raw sh- from the east to the west. Now bump this shish when you're releasing your stress.
A rhyme pharmacist, slanging dosages to comatose heads. While the souls are crying out, thinking their physical's dead. Resurrected by the light that penetrates through the clouds. Crack Da Vinci Code, you find my words on the shroud. Immaculate deception, peep the observation. Mind, body, soul, combination aligned with constellation of stars. Speak to the souls from the penthouse of the slums. The souls speak back to the beat of the drums. The force is soul sonic, beyond the hydroponic effect. Collect respect through the crates I select. The everlasting 33 and a third. No biting or perpetrating, suckers ain't allowed to disturb. The pound, fist up and down that form the links of the chain. Respected, connected, holding the weight of the name. The science is heavy, still it ain't heavy enough to explain how water can turn to wine in a cup. That's
hey,
what's up.
Yeah, real rap, sweet 16s, just push your way back, now dig that. We ahead of the rest, raw from the east to the west. I bump this sh- when you're releasing your stress. Hey yo, it's on again, real rap, sweet 16s.
be the sound of Anonymous Twist featuring Planet Asia. Three's the magic number. We've got a guest on the way.
Getting up. Come on, we're getting up. We're getting up. Yeah, I said that we can where you're going. Because sent you a message, sent you an email. Hasty decisions, we may still prevail. Both needed breaks, we both needed to bail. Walking through the corridors of my mind, the hideaways and nooks and things were good times. Memories certainly, yes, they still bind. Still a common man, and yeah, that's for sure. Still a bankroll, and yeah, still couture. But man, this thing that we had was much more. Come back home, don't be out in the world. It's a bad place and no place for a girl. Amongst the scavengers, I found a pretty pearl. It's for the faint of heart who never get enough. Gotta get tough, buckle them up. We call them guts and we got the
getting up.
We
come
got
on,
the
getting up.
Today is nice, come on.
I said we getting up.
I said we getting up.
I said we getting up.
Cause we getting up.
I said we getting up.
Today is right, come on.
We gon' get up.
I said we getting up.
I said we getting up.
Come over here, baby. Don't look so grumpy. This kind of lifestyle could be so comfy. We could start a clan just like the Kennedys. We're not again, certainly we can extend. Feelings that should never end. You respect me like a friend, but love me like your man. No other could contend. And we could be like those exposed to history, like staying with each other with truth and chivalry. The things we go through, they shape identity. Yes, pretty, let's do this all night. Consummate this thing and make it alright. And when we cuddle up, I promise that I might. We need to
get enough,
come on,
get enough.
Today is nice, come on. Towards you, your magnetic presence make them all come through. The same way you got them, you got me too. Now look at our lives, it's so colorful. A wonderful spectrum, not one tone dull. Full of excitement and not one love. See, we had an understanding, oh yes we did. I'm bringing it back, I'm putting in my bid. Have a couple of kids and have a couple of cribs. We like Ruby D and Asi, Martin and Coretta. Doing it to death, no one could do it better. When we leave our physical, our spirit's still together. So come on now, here's a placement for your hand. We rocking with the number one MC man. The number one controller, alright, through the land.
Been talking about politics and of course the climate out there, not just in America but the whole world. There are changes afoot. What's that, man?
Sorry about that. I was out of the room, so I didn't know if you guys had said anything crazy without me.
Oh no, I've not described any more of British women's beautiful physiques. But speaking of what we were talking about there, about politics, the forthcoming recession, of course, the election situation out there in America. Let's get a guest on. Let's talk to Davey D. Radio personality, author.
Activist.
Activist. Fighter. Everything is...
Hello.
Hello, Davey D. Welcome to the show.
Good. How
are
you all doing?
Oh, we're doing okay. Listen, we're just talking about politics. We're talking about the current election situation out there in America. We're talking about the possible forthcoming recession that could be on the way, how it's affecting the whole world. And we just wanted some of your input with regards to those topics. Really, first of all, then, the current political climate out in America at the moment. I mean, what's your take on it? How would you describe the political climate out there in America at the moment?
I think... from the travels that I've been doing, people are pretty excited. At the same time, it's also very tense. There's a lot of excitement among younger people in particular. Whether you agree with Obama and his politics or not, he's managed to excite a lot of folks. And the history-making potential of him being first African-American to to run the White House is something that has not gone unnoticed. At the same time, you're seeing a lot of racism coming out that has just been unbelievable. A lot of people are finding their votes being purged. I've been involved in a lot of early voting stuff down south, and all the stops are being pulled. I mean, it ranges from police showing up in an intimidating manner to voting booths, to people not finding their names on the rolls, to people giving false information. The rhetoric has been ratcheted up. So I think that, you know, people on both sides feel there's a lot at stake, and in many ways it is. Whoever gets into the White House will be able to appoint maybe 2 to 3 Supreme Court judges. That's not counting all the federal judges that they're going to put on. There will be some fundamental differences that I think is going to have an impact to the average person for the next 20 to 30 years here in the States.
Sorry, hello? Sorry, yeah, sorry, the big gap there. I was just waiting for one of my co-hosts to chip in. Peter, are you there, Peter?
I'm here, buddy.
Sorry, man. Sorry, I don't know if that message was getting through. Listen, Peter, take this up with Davey D. Just talk with Davey D, if that's cool.
Yo, no, Davey, what's up, man? It's Peter Rosenberg. How are you?
Peter, how you doing, boss?
I'm good, buddy.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, you too, man.
I'm good.
I was just telling these brothers the same. I was just telling these brothers the same thing you were saying, basically, about, you know, the level of excitement is pretty high, and I think for people like you and I, it's sort of been easy to anticipate that both, you know, as the election has gone on, there's been an increased level of excitement and involvement. You know, like from when I got started in New York about a year and a half ago, and I started really touting Obama right when I moved up here in August of last year, to now, to see the way, you know, particularly young black people have come to get excited about Obama. It's like, at first, would you agree that at first there was sort of a really guarded attitude by a lot of young black people in terms of, I think, subconsciously wanting to invest themselves in something that seemed impossible? And now it's both a beautiful thing because people are so invested, and also a little scary for people who and I who have been interested in this for a long time and still know that any fucking thing could happen between, you know, now on election day.
I would agree with most of that. One of the things with Obama that's real interesting is that people were guarded against him, but there were two reasons why they were guarded. It's very different. For younger brothers and sisters, they were guarded because they weren't really familiar with him. The older guard had already casted their lot with Hillary Clinton. And I followed that pretty closely. I went on the campaign trail and covered a lot of the races during the primaries. And so I remember the turning point came in South Carolina when Bill Clinton and Hillary did some things that were perceived as very racist. Mm-hmm. And I remember it was almost overnight that people really got on board. But the excitement around Obama is not limited to black folks, period. There's like just a lot of people in general just darn excited about him.
Absolutely.
I see that in California, you know, Washington State. I see it in Texas, you know, which has the possibility of going from a red to a blue state if Houston comes out in record numbers. That's the vulnerability there. So you see that all around. I think part of the excitement around Obama has waned because he's moved significantly to the right. And so some of the things that really got people initially on board, which was his very reactive stance to the Bush policies, you know, has now been tempered. And, you know, him supporting the visa bill and, you know, and then some of the rhetoric he's used has been something that's been kind of disappointing. But when you're looking at the choice between him and McCain and Palin, you know, then folks are going to get behind him. And then, yeah, and you're right that, you know, younger folks have, you know, gotten on board. But I think, you know, they were guarded because for the past two elections, they saw that their votes were stolen from them. And, you know, the way things are going now, significant number of votes are being stolen as we speak.
You know, and like I said, I think rightfully guarded. I think what I noticed among the youth was, and also let me be clear, Montana, Menace, or everyone in the UK, like, this is universal. This crosses all sorts of lines, the excitement for Obama. And actually what I was getting at was that I found that my white friends were a little bit more excited earlier on, I think because it's easier as a white person to be excited. There's as much as it would hurt to have Obama lose, I think intrinsically it would hurt that much more if you are black. And I think it was a little bit easier for white people to really get on board and say, like, this is something they could invest in. And I think you made a great point about the Clintons. You know, that for a while there were people still out there who believed in the Clintons. You know, people like me, I've been cold on the Clintons for a long time. And but there certainly were a lot of people who really believed in the Clintons and were let down. And I will also say that, you know, Davey alluded to, or not didn't allude to, directly talked about how, you know, Obama's rhetoric has changed a little bit and how he's had to come to the right or at least to the center on a few issues. But I'll be honest, and I've had this argument with friends of mine, it's not something that's disappointed me at all. It's something I'm just looking for a coach who can win the game. You know what I mean? And at this point, I think what we're going to get from an Obama administration, if it happens, and how closely it mirrors what he's saying now is up for debate. But I think the key has been for him to really try to get in there and get those independents that potentially are open to voting for someone like Barack Obama, but not if he speaks to certain things. So I'm happy. Well, I was happy to
see his challenge that's come before. By moving and focusing on a group of people who never have supported the so-called Democrats, I think is a flawed approach. People talk about this genius of moving to the center politically to win the independents in the middle of the country is the way to go, and they credit Bill Clinton and the DLC, the Democratic Leadership Council, as being the creators of this program. The truth of the matter is that even Clinton didn't win those people. And so I just think it's very flawed. You still have large numbers of people in the U.S. who have not registered and who are not voting. Where I've been out in Texas, you have, that's the fourth largest city in the United States, you have more than 1 million people who weren't registered to vote. And decidedly so. They just feel like, you know, the system's not going to work for them, and that there's just plenty of proof on the ground to support that claim. And so it's just been like, I'm not registering. There's still 12 million African Americans who haven't voted, who aren't registered, and that's just one side. We're not talking about Latinos and a lot of poor whites who are not registered. And I think what's happened is that by moving to the center, you move away from the very issues that need to be spoken about, like what is your plan for poor people, not middle class, not middle of the road, but poor people, people who are down and out, which is more than a quarter of the country. That hasn't been addressed. Very real issues that come up that seem to, you know, conflict with the direction that they're taking, like will you demand that jobs be brought back home as opposed to being put overseas? Will you aggressively say that you will put an end to the monopoly that's held by the insurance companies, or will you diddle and daddle around with all types of words and fancy phrases that don't leave you really understanding whether or not you'll have health care or not? And the risk that I think they feel in the campaign, if they say that, is going to be perceived as, quote-unquote, believe it or not, too radical. And, you know, for the benefit of people who are in the U.K. listening, there's actually a backlash when you seem to be aligned with what they perceive as the European way of doing things, at least as far as the news pundits are concerned. They raise that up like, oh, they're trying to be socialists like they are in France, or they're trying to be, you know, like the Europeans where they want to give away the money and distribute the wealth, and they make that sound like it's almost being anti-American and unpatriotic. So to me personally, I just think you should always speak your truth to power, and that you should just resonate with people by just being real. And I think, you know, what I got from Obama and I get from, you know, from being around them and going to all the rallies, that they're always cautious. I don't like the cautious game. They just, like, always seem to be tiptoeing and holding it back. And, I mean, if he wins by a large margin, I'll tip my hat and say he played the right game. But for me personally, I'm not comfortable with it.
No, I think you just spoke to a lot of great stuff, and specifically about the poor, about, you know, really addressing poor people. That's an absolutely great point, and I understand not being comfortable with it. And I guess my hope is that it does end up working, and that the administration is slightly different than the campaign has been. But real quick, last thing I have to ask you, Davey, as someone, you know, as you being sort of a real statesman in hip-hop politically and someone who's been deeply involved in this for a long time, removing all the work you've done as a journalist and everything you've done covering this election, on a completely personal level, what will it feel like if come 11 p.m. on Tuesday, it looks like Obama is decidedly up and, you know, people start calling it for Obama? What would that just feel like to you personally?
I'll feel like it would have sent a strong message. I'll be guarded with my optimism. I'll also be very upfront. I think Obama will owe a whole hell of a lot to hip-hop for that election. One of the things I've often pointed out is that the irony of all this is that maybe about 15, 16 years ago, maybe even longer, though about 92, 93, there was a purge in the radio landscape, in the sense that I was on stations where, you know, commercial stations before Hot 97 really got jumping, where we were playing like your Public Enemies and KRS-One's and a lot of the so-called golden age hip hop, and these were in the mainstream at that time. And almost overnight, those type of groups and songs got removed and it was replaced. And one of the things that I found is that a lot of those groups, whether it ranged from Hiro or to Boots and the Coup and even Public Enemy and others, wound up having to go into a different type of touring circuit. And what you found is that they started to go to all the middle-of-the-road, middle America type of towns, mostly white, where they had, you know, developed a huge fan base and really never compromised the type of conversation that they would have. My point that I was making is that when you look at somebody who's 18 years old and he's seeing somebody of color speak to some very serious issues and not in an uncompromising way, I think it planted a seed where people could be used to seeing somebody in leadership position who traditionally wasn't. And now you fast forward, you know, 15, 16 years, that 18-year-old is 30-something, maybe even 40. He now has kids who are 18, or she has kids who are 18, and they've gotten used to seeing people in leadership position. And that was reflected early on in the primaries, and you see that now all throughout the western part of the coast of the states, Oregon, Washington State, even places like Nevada and other Colorado, places like that. You saw a lot of white folks come out and support Obama enthusiastically. But if you remember the rhetoric that they used early on in the primary, they made a distinction between those white folks that were supporting Obama and the people that were in the blue-collar states like Ohio and Pennsylvania. And they started referring to these people as elitist and out of touch. Some even used the word as not really being American because they were college-educated. They had a different point of view, more youthful in their approach, and more accommodating for the change that Obama was calling for, whereas your blue-collar types in some of these older states, you know, they've been described as bitter and clinging to their guns. And the point that I'm making here is that when you look at the backdrop of many of those people, they come from a culture, you know, that I often associate with hip-hop, and you can probably even associate it to the punk and other type of alternative music cultures that I think was much more open and much more willing to embrace new ideas. And I think that will be a referendum if Obama makes it, because that's where he's really going to owe a lot of gratitude for those people who were cut out of the mainstream, at least in the entertainment fields, who went around and made a living and excited people early on and did it for a good 15, 16 years. Those seeds are now, you know, have sprouted. And Obama, if he becomes president, and even just as far as he's gotten, is the first major beneficiary of that. The tactics that he uses, if you go and look at the people that's in his camp, the folks that are running his operation, these are all young people, and they all come from those backgrounds, you know, many of them hip-hop-oriented backgrounds. The tactics that he uses, the approach that he's taking, even the languaging is coming out of that culture. And I think, you know, whether he gets on the stage and admits it, he definitely will know that he got to be grateful to that. And I'll just close by just, you know, from talking with a lot of those artists, I know that personally he's reached out to many of them, and they've done things for him behind the scenes and sometimes up front. And so, yeah, you'll have a hip-hop president, and that will be something that we'll have to really think about, because it's going to force us all to step the game up, politically-wise at least.
No, I think, David, that's a great place to close and a great point, because, I mean, even if you look at someone like me and the reason that I'm in doing what I do for a living and am able to give my little two cents that a few people hear, being aggressively Obama for the last year and change on a big outlet, all of that is directly, you know, not just because I have parents who have always, you know, been super liberal and forward thinking, but a major part of that is because of, you know, what hip hop taught me. So I think that's an absolutely great point, man. Dave, you always kick the truth. We appreciate you taking the time to talk to us, man.
Well, thank you. Y'all have a good one, and peace out. And hope to catch you in New York, Peter.
Yeah, Dave, holler at me when you're here, man. And actually, I'm going to try to holler at you for our morning show in the next week before the election so we can chat a little bit.
Okay, sounds good. I'll talk to you in a bit.
Excellent.
Peace. Stay up, man.
Thank you very much, Davey D. Davey D, 3's the magic number. Psycho's down. Always a great guest, always great to talk to him.
Say the beat grabs you, then the rhyme stabs you, but can't prove it was my client's doom and babble. I rest my case, the witness never showed up. They both kept heat on the street and had it sold up. Defense was wise, complete with alibis. What the informant told the coroner was a pile of lies. Beat the rap in the court of law, free to beat the crap out the snitches while protecting and extorting the poor. Expect to expect the unexpected, check for wreck. Turns up under or in front of harm detected. Thunder for breakfast, son of hundreds, sons are under a second. Whoever disrespect, neck get disconnected. Off the record, macho steel case, tiger stripe, metal fang striker versus Nacho Libre biker type. Rigged for a fake draw, that's what the paper do. Big more cake score, HD pay-per-view. It's much safer for you to cry dry tears for years. Dun 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 dun, villain here, no fears. It is what it is, except it ain't what it used to be. That's news to me, choose to be free musically. Take it from Doom Dini to Crew Meanie. Act like you don't know, even if you've seen me. In it for the green zucchini, so we can get a new beanie for Babu, the one and two's genie.
Don't start none, won't read none. This shit came on my puppet, it's called man. My advice, quit talking, it's over, no doubt. You don't know what it's about.
Question, nigga, have you ever heard of Sean? Hell yeah, but I prefer my Uncle Murder songs. I'm sorta whack like Hancock movie. Shorty dropped to a knee singing Hancock to me. Boxing chop suey, flowing through outer space. 3 million long, this nigga trying to mock fool me. Pop shots to he, damn that's bad grammar. Fuck a senior citizen, bad grammar jammer. Rap like a bammer, sound like pork chops. Slap with the hammer, change his diet with the four pop. An orthodox socks, knee high, Jason Kerry. Maverick, stab a chick, wing chasing Fetty. My mind on my money, money on my mind. It's nine on my waist, guarantee Monday all the time. Whack rappers always argue over faggot shit. I argue with Drew about seeking new management.
Don't start nothing, won't read none. It's about.
Duck season 3 officially in Haters Town. Be sure to bring your maters call and nature sounds. They fly then migrated. It's why I waited the whole time. Eyeballs dilated. Flyer was faded. The date was right though. Oh, it ain't nothing but my hound dog Nitro. Go get him, boy. Villain foul for dinner. After I finish skinning them, y'all can split the innards.
Innards, Lynyrd Skynyrd. Why did I say that? Not to fuck up the ebb and flow of said track. Head crack. I always throw sixes. Return to Ike Turner. I always throw bitches. You know the flow vicious. New and improved shit. No time for arguing. Do what you do, bitch. I like sneakers and I like bud. Catch me smoking right in front of the flight club.
Don't start none. Won't read none. This shit came on my puppet. This corn. My advice, quit talking.
Three's the magic number. Don't forget to check. Apology. Don't forget to check Facebook. Conspiracy Worldwide Radio. Throw Peter Rosenberg's name in. Get us added up. Get searching. Three's the magic number.
Yeah, yeah. That's right, nigga. That's how the fuck we do this shit, nigga. Yeah. UP. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's that gangsta shit.
Brand new Prodigy.
Yeah. It's that
contact us directly.
Shit, nigga.
ConspiracyWorldwide@gmail.com.
I used to dress like the 80s, then I did the 90s. Now I get dressed for 2090 from gold to plat. Titty rose gold bezel. Now so much ice, you can't see the metal. Used to dabble in dirt. Now I keep my hands clean. Used to run with a gun. Now I run with a machine and some equipment. I'm coming equipped with some hardware. You gotta plug in before that thing spit. Hold on, man. You're not ready, cause I'm too deadly. And it's a death ceremony song, it's Betty. Bye bye, dee 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 die. That's the sound of the thing shooting for his eyes.
All the time, all the time, all the time, my nigga, all the time. Every time, every time. Any time I do, any time. Any time, any time. Any time I cheat, any time. All the time, all the time.
I was born in the 70s,
80 I was knee high,
91
I had guns my nephew and niece side.
Now
electric shock bullets, heads the cock pulling.
Nigga stunned, hit his head with a catch a cop bullet.
Went from Elysee to $1,000 nights,
did mad crimes,
but only been to Rikers Island twice.
See me?
I'm on my Chevy heavy,
P on his Porsche wag.
About to drop some real big shit like a horse ass.
Well, yeah, I was right and left with the conjure code. I was cooking two big apes over my mama's stove.
When Kwame had the polka dot shirt,
I sharpied a 62 and had polka dot work.
Yo, P, put your Pumas up. These niggas screwed the fuck. Scowls on their face, niggas mad cause we doing us.
He acting like a bigger role for him. I'ma shoot him in the face, P a dig the hole for him.
All the time, all the time. All the time, my nigga, all the time. Every time, every time. Anytime I do, anytime. Anytime, anytime. Anytime I cheat, anytime. All the time, all the time. All the time, my nigga, all the time.
Taken from the brand new Prodigy project. Speaking of projects, we've been talking about it throughout the show. We're going to be getting into that. Peter Rosenberg EP, really looking forward to this, man.
Hey man, I'm excited to talk about it.
Excellent. All right, it's coming after this. Also, we've got a little surprise guest we haven't mentioned so far. Yeah.
Son of a jazz legend. Yeah, Big John Patton. Hey, yo, I don't play the organ, nah. Like my pops did. I look like my mom, so I know I'm not adopted. I just adopted a style you can rock with. Ran into a fence on my block, so I hopped it. Old school like DST, so I rock it. Every night I plug in the mic to a socket. I stopped it though, for years I was fed up. Seemed like my spirit was down and couldn't get up. Went to LA, I slept in the street, hustling beats, making just a little to eat. At Earl's Grill, you could see me like every single day. Blood pressure was 90 and 130. My blood got thick, plus I didn't turn 30. I ran into some real dirty cats on the shore, though. Down and do this music like Ricky Ricardo. It's hard, yo, so we live now, not tomorrow. We form headbangers, Bayou Bandits, Young Walton Prime, the God Automatic. Jimmy God rocks, Jermon and them classic. On the wrong day, my dude, you get your kick on plastic or wax, whether phone or fax, but I'm Buddhist now, so relax. My pops died in 02, I didn't know him. I heard a lot about him, so I dedicate this poem to show him that there's no hard feelings. Don't call me John, was the first phase of healing. Thanks to my musical partner, the clever Jeff, Tajay, Heyru, and my cousin Infinite. I made a pact to God to stay funky, plus fly as hell, but that ain't hard to tell. Plus I'm hot, whether or not my city sells. My kitchen sink drips and my trash can smells. Never been to Africa, but I've been to jail. I didn't know my pops, but my moms knew him well. This is just the life of a young black male. Giving your music, corporations won't sell. Son of a jazz legend, yeah.
Superstar Qualama.
Son of a jazz legend, dedicated to my pops. Son of a jazz legend, Big John Patton.
Thank you to Davey D.
Yo, peace to
just passed through a few moments ago. Really appreciate your time. All right then, Peter, it's time to break down a few tracks from this brand new EP. Let's talk about them first. Talk about the concept, the creative process really behind each track, and then we'll go into them. Let's begin with this first track then. I heard this one a little bit earlier, you played it off air. Jealous Guys. Speak about this one, man.
I actually renamed this track with the N-bomb. Decided to go with Jealous N-bombs as the title. I really used my N-bomb card. I used it here because I thought Jealous Guys sounded weird. And Daytona starts the song off by saying Jealous N-bomb. So that's what we went with there creatively on the title. But the song really, Daytona had never met Odyssey. And Daytona is my co-host, Cypher Sounds, introduced me to his music. Cypher has always been involved in promoting him, etc. And so Daytona and I have just sort of become cool. And he's from the Bronx, but he's got a real swagger about him that I know people overuse that word, but you'll hear it on the record. He's one of these guys, and I'd love to get your guys' feedback after we play it. But he's got real lyricism with an actual cool swagger. And when you meet the dude, he's always dressed like to the T. I mean, the guy is just slick. But he's a great, great person. Really nice guy. Everyone who deals with him loves working with him. And him and Odyssey just hit it off. And they're going to do a lot of work together. And so he heard this. They went through a few beats. He heard this one. He was like, this is it. Let's go. He wrote it in an hour, hour and a half maybe, recorded it in the same time. And when I got home and listened to it, man, it's the beat's just insane. My favorite part of this record is at the end of the first chorus going into the second verse, Odyssey sort of just lets the sample continue playing out from the chorus. And it's got a real Jay-Z feel to it, but frankly, better sounding than anything I've heard from Jay recently. But yeah, it's a dope record. Odyssey did the beat. Daytona wrote it and rhymed to it, and that's it. It's pretty straightforward.
All right, cool. Let's hear from it now. Let's hear the track and also hear from the listeners as well. Let us know what you think of this. We're loving it inside the studio. Jealous Guys.
Daytona. Yo, Rosenberg, what it is, man. You know, I'm fucking with you. You know, we built from the same club. I know you got jealous niggas, right? Niggas hating on you and all that for no reason. So we just gonna talk to them on this track right here. This that vibe, I be steadily on. I'm set to be on the shit the cause has to be gnawing. The type of shit the Heath Ledger was allegedly snorting. Dope but never falling off. My ambiance is the Mondrian, a joint with a model John. And I'm so fly that I study abroad, get it? Study abroad, then up in the drawers, I'm headed. Medic, come quick for him. We need a storm to cure him, it ain't no fix for him. Get off me.
These niggas can't guard me. I'm feeling like Jordan before we cop the party. A big shot Bob Horry. Need a three in the fourth quarter or to call me. That's what Peter did. Niggas is salty. Jealous niggas eat a dick and drink.
You got
salty.
That jealousy. Hate your blood. Jealousy runs all through your family tree. That jealousy. Just because I know what it does and you get no love.
For me. And one oak bring a waiter for me. Sipping oh so with goose. Oh so the truth. Right hand on the Bible with the left raised up, homie. Straight up, homie. Billy D minus the slick back. His presence is like Christmas. Here's a flow, call it a gift rap. Gucci with the Louis, how I mismatch. Chick stab these niggas who wipe rap. Niggas you like, I necked out with. Same night that I met a family. And I see pics on wire image. Y'all at the Grammys. And I ain't sell one record. Still got niggas infected with jealous. I can smell it in the air. And it's instrumental. It's all that I
got. That jealousy. Hate your blood. Jealousy run all through your family tree. That jealousy. Just because I'm doing what it does. And you get so low. No odyssey. It's that perfect track.
Sorry, Dad, you're the international podcast right now.
Oh, my bad, bro.
No worries.
I heard you just talking about Saigon.
When his song was really funny, he was like, you sure? You sure? He's like, yeah. Okay.
Yo, I tell you something, Peter. That is a great, great song. What do you think of that, Menace? I mean, I love that beat. I was just saying that's sun-drenched. The whole beat is just one of those beats, even, which is sun-drenched, man. It's beautiful.
Yeah, the beat's crazy. What I liked about that track is the fact that, you know, they seem to be having a party, a celebration, and really turning jealousy into something positive. You can tell that, they're not sweating jealous haters. Mm. You know, they've made a party of a song, and it's real dope, real refreshing, and if that's an indication of what to expect from the EP, then I can't wait, man. Definitely a dope joint, definitely.
Yeah, man.
Thanks, guys. Yeah, I was thrilled with it. I mean, the coolest thing about doing these songs, just these little six songs, has been seeing the way that guys of kindred, you know, hip-hop spirits really can get along. You know what I mean? Just because they come from the same school of hip-hop. You know, Odyssey and Daytona are just different dudes. I mean, you wouldn't think of them as similar dudes at all, but their love of hip-hop is the same. They're both incredibly talented. I mean, Odyssey is freakishly talented. I'd rather blow up his spot now before, I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but we hopefully we'll be speaking with Odyssey shortly, and I don't want to blow up his head too much with him on the phone, but I mean, the dude is just a freak when it comes to the beats and the rhymes, man.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean, if that's, like Manny said, if that's a mark of Odyssey's production, then that's it's a beautiful thing, and we are going to be speaking to him. Odyssey's going to be with us. We've not mentioned it thus far on the show. We're going to be joining us in about, 5-10 minutes, something like that. He's going to be with us talking about this EP in more depth. So that's a great track. That's one down. Let's go to the next one, then.
Where I Be At is the Buckshot record, and Buckshot is a tremendous guy who's, been incredibly supportive of me ever since I got up here, and he came through on last minute notice. He didn't know Odyssey, and he wrote his rhymes the quickest. The Buckshot process was the fastest process. I mean, from the time he got there to the time he left, you're just talking about no drama. You know, dude shows up by himself, maybe with one other person, some weed was smoked, so a notepad was out, the beats were playing, boom, he writes this joint in an hour maybe. I think it may have been done sooner, but he had to wait because Saigon, recording the fame and Saigon record took a little bit longer, and Buckshot just went in there and destroyed it. And I mean, when I told Odyssey Buckshot was showing up that day, he had no idea. So he had no idea what, he didn't have any beats specifically for Buckshot. And he went through and he said, I think I only have one that I have for him. That you know. Now, granted, when Odyssey says that he's full of shit, he always has more stuff that people could use. But in terms of what in his mind, you know, and it's his creation. So in his mind, the beat that he thinks would fit, you know, with the artist. So he had one, and that beat is where I be at. And Odyssey ended up throwing down a verse. He does the second verse on the record, and I'm in love with this song, man. It sounds like. I think people are going to hear it and be really excited because, I mean, not to remotely disparage Buckshot's recent work because I think it's actually been pretty great, but, I mean, you know, Odyssey's the best. And, you know, getting a track like this, this sounds like – this is just vintage Buckshot. I mean, a friend of mine heard this and was like, man, this isn't a Buckshot record. This is a Black Moon record. It's a pretty dope record, man.
All right, cool. Right, let's get to it now. Three's the magic number. We're going to connect with this tune. Where I Be At.
Yes, sir. Buckshot. Odyssey. What you got to see? P3. Peter Rosenberg. Don't look, nigga. I'm the ultimate. It's not my fault you quit. Y'all niggas is tricks. The way you get treated from chicks like Halloween. Follow my beam, you lean and you whip. Dumb fuck, what? You so blind to this, you out of style. Never mind them this. CDs is played. When your CDs is played on Hot 9, copy it 9 and leave the state. No further, but no murder and no killing. So you can get shot on your block, we're so willing. Woo, and I ain't seen the booth in weeks. I'm so used to the booth, I was losing sleep. Insomniac, where the bomb me at? I'm there. Used to rock Tommy hats and Tommy Gear. Yeah, I'm an asteroid, a meteorite. Cause when you see meteorite, go to your death. You wanna know where I be at? If you wanna find me, then find me a track. I'm right in the sack, I'm right in this crack. Heads get addicted to the way that I'm rapping, kick facts. They wanna know where I be at. If you wanna find me, then find me a sack. I'm right in the sack, I'm right in this crack. Heads get addicted to the way that I'm rapping, kick facts.
Like, I'm on here in grand mode, fresh like clotheslines. Drop to your no mind, beats in the rhyme flow. Flow like coastline, sands to the beach though. I'm so east coast, I represent the time zone. Bigger than my area, deaf to the point. You out of joints, fans like I ain't heard of you. Irrelevant, I'm Murray Ware that you never went. Getting cheddar for town, the cheddar was invented then. And stay humble like a bum coat. Above average with the knowledge, but the flow got dumb quotes. I'm bout gusto, straight out of low cash. Low budget lab out to grab all the bucks though. And what's left for you? Inshallah, nah. You bootleg me on canal right next to Prada and get a couple dollars and try to sell my chicken purse when we walking down the street as a couple hours.
They wanna know where I be at. If you wanna find me, then find me a track. I'm right in the sack, I'm right in this crack. Heads get addicted to the way that I'm rapping, kick facts. They wanna know where I be at. If you wanna find me, then find me a stack. I'm right in the sack, I'm right in this crack. Heads get addicted to the way that I rap and kick facts. Ha, you a superstar, but when you on stage, they don't know who you are. They like, who this whack nigga? I should boo this whack nigga. I'm like, chew that nigga, but hear me out. These niggas touts, pumpkin pie, pineapple express. Soon as I dump, you die. Slump to the side, like that boy. How your boy? How to see beats, make him lean back and forth. Got niggas that want the call from the chronic aroma. Show up, went to high school, so I got a diploma. Diplomat, yeah, I sent the gap, blame you. What? My niggas is insane too, man. Listen, I'm the nigga that can't stand fishing. There's too many fish in the sea. All I see is division, how I'm living. That's a whole new aspect. Virtual value, fuck passion. I pass checks.
They wanna know where I be at. If you wanna find me, then find me a track. I'm right in the sack, I'm right in this crack. Heads get addicted to the way that I'm rapping, kick facts. They wanna know where I be at. If you wanna find me, then find me a stack. I'm right in the sack, I'm right in this crack. Heads get addicted to the way that I'm rapping, kick facts.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Buckshot really does sound his element on this.
Yeah, it's just right. Like, that song is just like I had nothing to do creatively with these songs, so it's not like I'm patting myself on the back. But I mean, that song's just fucking crack.
Yeah, it is, man. I was just saying off air there, it's kind of a layered jazz kind of step in the arena sort of sound to it. You know, it's that kind
of
I really like that as well.
Yeah, and again, it's another natural sounding collaboration. You know, neither Odyssey or Buckshot sound forced or uncomfortable on a track together. It's definitely, like you said, reminiscent of that Black Moon type of stuff we love, and the jazz samples, man. Odyssey is just
it came together real nice, man. Like that's the greatest thing about working with Odyssey. He seems to have something that works for everyone. So it turns out nice, man.
Well, we've been bigging him up and patting him on the back about his beats. Should we get him on? Should we speak to Odyssey?
Let's do it.
All right. Let's bring him in. About to connect now with Odyssey, the producer whose tracks you just heard there. Too. I'm not quite sure if that's a normal sound.
It certainly doesn't appear normal.
I thought maybe it was one, because I know in America you have these unique ringtones that we don't have out here. You have these kind of, like, you know, you have songs, you have all sorts of things on your ringtones. We just have the standard British ringtone. So I thought maybe it was one of those type ringtones. Let's try again. Hopefully it'll come through a bit. There we go. Doesn't that sound
like... you guys don't have ringtones?
No, but we don't have these elaborate ones. These big elaborate kind of orchestras that you have in America. Hello? Sometimes. Hello, Odyssey. Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, we've just been dropping some tracks from the EP. We've got Peter Rosenberg here, Menace, of course, at the side of me. And we've just been basically patting you on the back for these beats. We just played two tracks back to back. We played the Jealous Guys and the Where I Be At tracks. Both absolute bangers. Great tracks, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it, man.
What we want to know, though, is how you go about the beat-making process. I mean, it's one thing to say to somebody, wow, what a great producer you are, but how? How do you go about this? Where do you begin when you're about to make a beat?
There's so many ways. I honestly couldn't even, like, put it in one way to say I have, like, a specific formula to create in. But it normally starts with just a rhythm, just a melody, whether it's a drum pattern or whether it's a loop that's playing in my head, and I'll always start with melody first, and it kind of works itself like a puzzle. Once I get that first piece, it sort of creates itself, and I'm just there just as a tool to just put everything together, so to speak. Mm. It's already done, and it's just waiting for me to figure it out, you know what I mean?
Mm, absolutely. Listen, I'm going to have to ask you this. Are you moving your phone around? Because there's a lot of noise coming through on the phone. I don't know if there's anything that you're aware of that could be causing that noise.
Yeah, I'm actually outside right now. Hold on, let me find some place to go inside real quick. It's a windy day here in D.C.
You're keeping it real in the streets?
Oh, I'm keeping it very real. All right, that should be fine.
All right,
that sounds good. That's clear. Yeah, that's good.
That's perfect.
Yeah.
So there's no fixed format to this beat-making process then. It's just, you know, whatever happens, happens, and you do it. I mean, obviously you are a crate digger. I mean, how big is your vinyl collection?
Oh, man, and that's something that I would never show disrespect to a true crate digger. I'm far from one. I collect vinyl to sample. You know, I always search in the dollar bins when I'm searching for records. I don't really spend too much money on it. I wish I was more of a crate digger myself, but people will be like shockingly surprised if they found out what I sampled, and it's far from rare. Yeah, I mean, a lot of the material I have is stuff that's just in constant circulation that you can find at any mom and pop shop, but I find a way to make something new out of it, and that's just the way producers in my camp came up, because we had nothing. We just worked with what we had, so if there were samples that had been flipped over and over and over, we find new ways to chop them, smaller pieces, to just completely make it unrecognizable. Mm. So I work with a lot of material that people are very familiar with, but I'm just constantly chopping it in different ways so that I can make it my own.
Mm. If you don't mind, then, reveal the secret. What do you use? What software is Odyssey working with?
I used to use an ASRX, and 2 years ago, I had some problems with it, and I just left it to the side, and I started using Pro Tools. So I produce everything in Pro Tools.
That's for all the listeners who are producers as well. A lot of people are very nerd-like when it comes to production tools. They always want to know how good producers, what are they using? What are they using? So that,
you know what, man? I tell you, the best thing I'm using is my brain, man. Like, it don't matter what you're using. I use Pro Tools, and everybody only uses that as recording software. But it really doesn't matter what's inside your brain. That you know, the tools, you can use any one of them.
Mm, absolutely. Okay, the new EP. By the time we go on there, then it will have dropped. Are you excited about this new EP?
Yeah, man, I'm super excited, man. I think me and Pete are going to do some big things with it. I think people are going to enjoy it with their hand thoroughly. It's going to bring some good raw grittiness back to hip-hop, you know what I'm saying? A lot of stuff that's out right now is, I don't know, me, when the weather get cold, this is the type of music I want to hear, so I'm glad it's coming out on the 28th.
Yeah, I'd mentioned that. I use the phrase sun-drenched in terms of the beats, man, for Jealous Guys, and it does. It brings the sun out. It brings sunshine indoors, this album, from what we've, this EP, from what we've heard so far. Right, Odyssey, Peter, school the UK audience now together. What on earth is the Low Budget Crew? Tell us about this Low Budget
Peter,
Crew.
Peter, you want to take this one?
Low Budget?
Yeah, go ahead. You can answer this one, homie.
I mean, wow, Low Budget. Hey, hold on, I'm watching Ben Roethlisberger. He just threw like a 90-yard. That's a touchdown. That's a 90-yard touchdown. I'm sorry, I'm getting really American.
You could do that. I'm trying to go to the grocery store and do an interview, and you watching. Who's watching?
And I'm
football?
Watching football. And I'm just chilling here watching football. Yo, low budget is a collective of producers, MCs, and DJs that came together as organically as you can imagine in the late '90s in Maryland. And, the real, you know, first member, so to speak, sort of founding member was Kev Brown. Like, Low Budget was his name, for his production and his work. It ended up becoming this whole collective. At the time, around the time I met Kev at the University of Maryland in like 1998 or so, Odyssey was just getting started, in another part of Maryland. And he was doing his own little thing called Regal Beagle, basically Odyssey and Kev and everyone, I don't want to tell you, I won't go through each story. Like one day we'll sit down and really explain how each person kind of came into be with Low Budget. But essentially it was like Kev and Odyssey and a group called Critically Acclaimed and rapper named Cy Young, Ken Starr, Sean Bourne, Camber, IQ, DJ Martial Law, and myself. We just all started doing like shows together, producing with each other. You know, they would always be at my radio show. Everyone, you know, and then we ended up touring together. We just sort of did everything in hip hop together for a long time.
You know what's it about the Low Budget Crew is like? It's almost as if it's a who's who of the underground DC scene.
Yeah, definitely. I would definitely say that. I mean, it's interesting when a lot of people. Not anymore. It's definitely a thriving scene in D.C., but there was a time where we were putting out so many records by ourselves that people from other cities and other parts of the world would say, man, what must the scene be like in D.C.? And I say, you're looking at it. You know what I mean? It's in our basement when we all get together. There was no scene, and that's what kind of brought us together is we were like-minded individuals in a city that has so many subgenres that it's hard to find your own way, and we formed a group together to somewhat push each other so that it would be bigger than just us as individuals. That's the only way that necessarily a scene can start. You know what I mean?
Go ahead, bro.
No, I was going to say, I mean, Odyssey hits it on the head. I mean, D.C. is kind of a weird place. So, like, the cool thing about us is, like, we all sort of see hip-hop in a similar way. Like, all of us, we may have different artists who are our favorite, but, like, everyone's very similar in that, like, everyone likes raw hip-hop shit. Everyone loves the great musical producers ranging from Pete to Premier to Dilla to Dre and DJ Quick, whoever, like all over the place. But like-minded in terms of we all kind of love that same shit. And and the result just made the crew work. I mean, there was it's not even respect. That's making it more than what it is. Like, it's more just like friends who all love the same kind of music. So we all We always agreed on the way things should go because we all love the same shit.
Yeah, there's no categories with a lot of us in Low Budget. You know, it's just good music or bad music. So you check our iPods and playlists, you'll see everything inside. And that's something that kind of bonds us together is we just recognize what we see as good music with no nerd rap or no categories and subgenres and putting things in, you know, underground, mainstream, or whatever the case may be. We just find good music good, I mean.
Exactly. And I mean, Kev's already, you know, proved how far you guys have gone too, you know, with the recent song he did with Busta. I mean, do you have any plans of working with dudes like Busta or mainstream like people?
Oh, I have plans of working with everybody.
Yeah, I was about to say,
I was about to say my plan is for Odyssey to do a lot of that, and my plan's for me to get about a nice 10-15%. Now, man, when we start making these millions. So
I'll tell you, me and Peter had that agreement for a good long while now. You know I mean, so if we all work, we all eat, you know what I mean?
And so I'm in a position now where, like, I'm in a position where I can put O on to people, and O, as a result, makes me look good because he's a great artist. So, like, it's really easy to help one another out.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Definitely. Now, is there some secret news on the way? Is there a big move?
No, I don't think there's no major secret. You know, the only secret, I mean, I think that honestly, the way the momentum feels, you know, the way the momentum has felt for me for about a year and now is feeling with this stuff I've been doing with Odyssey is it changes day to day. Like, I'm sure I'm sure by the next time I talk to you guys, something different will be going on because that's just the vibe. It's been on a good vibe, but I mean, the only thing I can say is that these first six songs are not the last six. That's already definite, seeing as we've already recorded more. So there are more songs. Yeah, there are more songs with new artists, with old artists you love, new artists, people who are at the top of the game right now, some of the hottest underground dudes out. We've already done more songs, and there's going to be more songs. So I mean, I think people should expect that there'll be. The Rosenberg Odyssey project will be an album at some point, you know, in the next several months. I think it'll be a full-length project.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, excellent. Listen, Odyssey, thank you for your time.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
We're going to get into that EP a little bit more now on the show and talk about
We're going to play World War IV, right?
We are. Yes, that's the track that's coming up, yeah.
So, Odyssey, why don't you lead us into World War IV? Tell us a little bit about it.
Alright, World War IV featuring Saigon and Lil Fame, produced by yours truly. This is a crazy track, just the way it all happened. Saigon came in, he was, you know, going back and forth between two tracks that I played for him. He chose that one, and in the tradition of the project, he started writing on the spot. He came up with something, and then lo and behold, Lil Fame just walked in on the humble and was like, what y'all got going on? And he just jumped on the course, and then history was made right then and there. So this is a true spontaneous song in the way it was created, and it came out brilliant, you know what I mean? As well, it's one of my favorite styles of hip-hop is what came out of this song, and I definitely expect to hear some more collaborations between myself and Saigon.
All right, excellent. Right, let's get into the track that we're talking about there. Thank you for your time, Odyssey. We'll hopefully keep in touch.
All good.
All the best with this new EP. I hope every ear that should hear it out there in hip-hop hears it.
Me too, man. Couldn't say it better myself, man. Right. Peter, holler at me, man. I'm about to go get some groceries, man.
I will. Hit you later.
All right, man. Y'all take care.
All right. Peace, Odyssey.
Guns were jammed in the midst of them. Victim with the jackass look. Crook twisted them, that's a killer's curriculum. Hard nowadays is like niggas don't come equipped with them. I'm biologically bitter, so McCarthy, me and omnipotent roll together like reefer and cigarly. Get you high and start with it. Take the worst of you, go make a merciful person to bitches personal. Stomp niggas off the vertical, run to the 30 of you. You're a rapper, I might have heard of you. Fuck does that mean? I murder you when that converted you. Sick, I'm the type to blow kisses at my chick friend. If she don't respond, fuck it, show her my dick then. Give me the big pen, watch the saga I depict in. Like niggas coming home only to find that your got kicked in. See your sister in the corner crying like, oh, two short dudes in a tan car came and got grandma. Went with the Armani specs, took the key to mommy left. Said if he don't get the rest of his money, then mommy next. Not a game, I even shot a dame. All the bro, I'm afraid. I'm trying to shit out of the game. Let me make a couple mil on tour. Niggas ain't gon' see me no more.
Nigga, we at war. The streets at war. The blood's at war. The clips at war. It's World War IV.
Let me come up on a couple mil score. Packing my shit, hitting the door.
The troops at war. The troops at war. Even the girls at war. The world's at war.
It's World War IV. I seen wars with rusty guns that jammed in the mischief. Innocent people left red, trying to sleep on their deathbed. Strategize lies and patternize lies I fuck at. Try to capitalize on pies when they struck back. Look out the window, a block of caprices and Corsicas. Plain clothes, uniform, polices and officers. Supernatural specimen. Learn how to lose cops with me and try some two ties. Throwing rocks off the project rooftop. Partially hard. Man thought 30, went to the Mars. Got his brain wall. Got hit with a pick playing card. But not a game guard, reality back. You could die trying to team up with these cowardly cats. Splatter cat, salary cat. Agony's the reason we packing these cats. Front black and that, it'll be that. It'll be that. Look, nigga, you get your head pushed back. Let me make a couple mil on tour. Niggas ain't gon' see me no more.
Nigga, we at war. The Strip's at war. The Blood's at war. The Crip's at war. It's World War IV.
Let me come up on a couple mil score. Packing my shit, hitting the door.
The Troops at war. The Troops at war. Even the Girls at war. The World's at war.
It's World War IV. The strong rule of weak. The wise rule of world. It's a war, baby. Get your mind right. Odyssey. Saga. Rosenberg stuff. Lil Mallet, aka Fizzy Womack, aka Lil Fame. Bruh, bang. Yeah.
That boom bap ish, golden era, yo, check it, yo. I don't rap about getting cat or tricking off my stacks. Clapping the gap about slaying in the trap. I comes harder than that. I'm breaking A&R's format. The Lords of YZ, we're gonna be taking it back to the era before. We here to settle the score. New school and golden era here to kick in the door. B.I.G. Pimp C, T.U.P.A.C. Soldier Slim J.D. We here to uphold your legacy.
I used to be intrigued by body tap and strokers. We the new Sam and Dave, but I write like Sam and Otis. Influenced by Reggie Noble, maybe D. Barbosa. Rip through this magnum opus like Ferrari Testarossa. See, my posse's cotton picking, spinning Wilson Pickett, trying to get picket fences. D ain't versus, I'm spitting from the land of a thousand Marthas, a million Vandellas, trying to get cheddar. We the next Obama Mandela. Propellers chop the umbrellas of Cinderellas who get rained on since glass slippers replaced the levels. A Benz or a Beamer, I want that Lambie two-seater. While y'all trying to get Franklin Sheba, the next Aretha.
Yeah. Woo! We want it like before, man. I feel this one, Jeff. Your boy do it all. Oh, Jeff, this is a heat rocker. Let's go.
Hey, yo, my flow's like picture perfect. Flat screen with the digital circuits. For the price, it's so worth it. Do it all on the MC for a purpose. And I'm more harder than the hardest when I surface. Watch, honey, girl, as she yell, you better work this. How could I not? This track is so worth it. Give me that pair, the orange and the mango. The flow is so fruity, got mama's wanna tango. Pause, not fruity like the Britney dude on YouTube. I'm talking about fruity like them FL loose move. I'm a track star, plus I love a hot car. Shade. Off the braids, behind the shades, I'm a rock star.
I've earned my respect in the street. The ghetto's been good to me. I'm never gonna turn my back. The true and living, so watch out to kick the back.
Yeah. I said it before, here comes the Lord. When the God speak, y'all get on the floor. When the jam leak, y'all download and all. I make the jam death like Russell and Lior. That was before, let me switch lanes. I come to spend time, y'all can take the chains. A DJ spin the record, take the lows with the gains. I know some time passed, but can you erase the name? No shame, can you rock crowd? Can you rock Ken with no mistakes allowed? Can you KRS, that's the sound of the cops. Call me George W. Bush, I blow up your block. Blow up your block. You thought it was age that would make me stop.
Make me stop.
Instead of engaged, then this makes me hot.
Makes
so
me
what
hot.
You gonna do when the guys come through? You better be point, if not, game's over, case through.
Yo, the Lords and the God fall on one track. ATL, baby. Y'all thought when hip-hop came to the South, it died. Nah, it just came alive. Shout out the Lords of the Underground. YZ, Calvary. 2009 and forever.
Big Shook, Singapore Kane, T-West, J-Bill, Team Shook, let's go. Mars keep writing. bringing them. I keep banging them. Package them in CD form, keep slanging them. Yes, I'm hanging them. Your favorite rapper introduces punk ass to the clapper. Yes, I'm still twisting them. Two fisting them. When I take shots, you know I'm not missing them. I'm kissing them. Any chick in the vicinity. No, we not talking virginity. Only dimes and nuts. Make the cut. Any left and above bitches, eat the nut. For real. I'm kicking them, double four-fifthing them. Clap between the eyes if you niggas ain't listening. It's the return of M Soldiers Part 2, and we still don't give a fuck about you. I'm pounding them, straight up clowning them. Line up four CLs, yes, I'm downing them. Down, down. My rap flows, militant. My rap flow blows, blows. Militant. My rap flows, militant. My rap flows. Militant. If the beef's urgent, make a phone call to the insurgents. They bleach that nigga like clothes washing detergent. When shells do your shirt in, looks like cherries pop, but not virgins. They'll bypass the surgeons. My minions responsible for your ending. And they never get caught, cause they blend in splendid. We might never block, cause we fight from the heart. What they call clever art is singers terrorist talk. Think I'm fucking playing, or cause more than a little pain. And some of the rappers like Baby the Lil Wayne. The fact you're alive makes you a lucky nigga. My dogs shoot out with police like Bucky Phillips. The weed is the medicine for street veterans. Motivation for your murderers, dead presidents. Lyrically beheading rappers and civilians. We soldiers that's militant like mad Palestinians. My rap flows militant. Let's get it in. My rap flows militant.
You know I'm one.
My rap flows.
Militant. Y'all niggas already know Black Pope, unstoppable force. Murder the workers and I'm popping the boss. Who the fuck want what? I grind in the muck. My style is dirty, but I shine like King Tut. Attack without warning, scoring. Last minute, throw the bomb, blow it up. Motherfucker, let's end it. I want food and y'all look like dinners. I fight to the finish, I'm a menace to you beginners. Militant soldiers swarming, we on it. Black hoodies looking like Black Hornets. Move on command, take all the land. Got the power like Malcolm when he raised his hand. Off the top, I'm the meanest. You can't see this. Black motherfucker out of Queensbridge. I pull out and cop back. It's a blood sport, no coming back. Full body contact.
My rap flows, militant. My rap flow flows. Militant. My rap flows, militant. My rap flows. Militant.
Thank you, of course, to Odyssey. We've got LP is going to be with us now. LP doesn't do interviews. He hasn't done interviews for months, but he's taking the time out on this show tonight to actually come with us and join us on the show and talk to us. It's going to be interesting that, but that's what it's about. Yeah, man, so EP dropped last week, Tuesday. Response, I'm sure, over the next couple of weeks is going to be brilliant. That's what we all hope for. That's what it's about, not about trying to charge people for hip-hop, but to just get it out there and let people hear.
At least until I can find a way to charge people for it.
Exactly. As soon as you get that PayPal account set up, you'll be charging people $13.99. Exactly. That's it. But anyway, a lot of response about the Night of the Sluts. That was something that we had a lot of response on. It's going to be interesting. We don't get that in the UK. We mentioned it earlier on the show. We don't get Night of the Sluts. We just get the Night of the Children. I don't think we should really match those two together and try and discuss that. But we do get a lot of that. Just trick-or-treating. Is that a big thing in America, trick-or-treating? Do you get people banging at your door all night? I should imagine you do. We get a few. We get about three or four where I live.
It's the same thing here. I mean, that's the main thing that happens. The sluttiness of it, I think, is actually recent. Over the last several years, it's become more so like that.
Yeah, it's definitely come on. So thank you to everybody who's been commenting and giving their two penneth on that. Right, let's keep things moving. Brand new Black Milk, Royce the 5'9".
Once again. Everybody gather around. Listen. Walk with me. Yeah, let's talk about who's the most underestimated plus underrated city in this hip-hop game. Let's talk about, I don't know if these industry mofos overlook us cause they might be afraid. They know if we get the spotlight like that, you might not get your spotlight back for a couple decades. Let's talk about Auburn, A-Burn, I was day twice turned like Barry Gordy came back. Don't think about comparing us to another metropolitan area or anywhere on this globe. Let's talk about us breaking barriers, spitting sick as malaria, spitting you, not even spitting the cold. Let's talk about how they make the masses attracted to the whack like a magnet. It's a sad mission. Just talking about how I mastered these massive lyrics advanced like you in the class with a mathematician. Just think about losing out. No, you're not losing yet. We beat a beast like this all the time. You got a few more minutes of abuse. My nigga Royce, where you at?
Right here, my nigga.
Yes. Let's talk about, I got more cases in the motherfucking AR clip than they got on our mayor. Let's talk about, this is from the D and you don't fuck with Hex Trick the lead and you probably a square. Let's talk
where's
about
that
the metropolitan area, venereal, spitter steel, proof, burial, bitter, poof. Talk about me, I'ma be on your ass. Trouble sales, I will take I to the double L. Don't think about tussling with a head buster who got more muscle than 2J double L. You get popped like that, take off your whole top. Like black number body, what the hell? Let's talk about making niggas hard earned money. Yours putting money on heads like I'm paying they barbers. Talking about cutting mouth hangover, Range Rover 750. When I hit the streets, game over, nigga. I ain't never losing out. No, no, it's almost over. I give you one last chance to keep up. Round 3, nigga. Let's talk about the best or worst. Started from birth with the gift and the curse. Now I'm spitting the verse just to talk about whenever I'm spitting the verse. Feels like my words splitting the earth in two. Got them talking about who's that rap dude that matches the soul clap who and matches the boom bap boom like the D where the crack moves in the street. Niggas pull heat longer than Shaq's shoes. Don't think about bringing out them Ninas cause we about clean them out. Phone calls could lead to a wet shirt. Ringing out gunshots, tech burp, expert leaning out the window, bringing my inner demon out. Talking about how we got it mastered. The fact that whenever me and Black do a track, it's a classic. Talking about my life, nigga, no sound realer. Riding with the 4-pound thriller like Mike. Out.
Now, it always seems to be the case when DJs do get on air and talk about stories. It tends to be the negative ones. It tends to be kind of the controversy, the gossip. Always seems to be a negative thing. What about a positive story, Peter? Let's go on a positive hip-hop story from the past couple of weeks.
Oh, man, how nice is it that Fife from A Tribe Called Quest finally got his kidney transplant?
Yeah, now break down the history of this, because a lot of people won't be aware of the situation that Fife was facing.
Well, you know, as Fife really talked about, he was diabetic, and he didn't take very good care of himself, and ended up being very, very sick. And I had seen him in person several times, and I mean, to be honest, it was upsetting to see him. You know how thin and decrepit he looked. He really did not look good. Mm-hmm. And the word was, you know, he'd been looking to get a kidney. He needed a kidney transplant for a long time, and you know how long you can go like that is sort of unknown, but it's very hard to get a kidney. And I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know the full story. He hasn't been interviewed yet. I'd love to talk to him, but he got the kidney transplant, and he's going to be all right. So it's one of those rare, really nice hip hop stories to hear, and especially you know for a guy in a group that's probably there's probably no group that more people think of as their favorite group in hip hop than Tribe, you know.
Exactly, yeah. And of course, there were talks last year, weren't they? Or actually earlier this year, of the whole group getting back together and doing a new studio album.
Yeah, that's not very likely. I mean, I wouldn't, you know, from my conversations with them, I don't think that's in the realm of possibilities. But it's, you know, now that he's healthy, you never know what could change. And you never know how relationships could change because of all the stress that he'd been dealing with because of it. So you can't rule it out, although I wouldn't expect it. But I will tell you one thing is Michael Rapaport, the actor, is currently directing a documentary about Tribe. It's being produced by Nas. Nas put up the money for it, and Michael Rapaport's directing it. I saw him shooting it, and he's been following around Tribe for months. So, I mean, their sort of explosive fall apart during Rock the Bells this year, Fife's kidney transplant, all of this stuff should be in the documentary, which should be incredible.
It will be. And it's amazing and an honor, really, to see that somebody's going to do something like a documentary on A Tribe Called Quest. I mean, that's fantastic. And Nas is directly involved with this.
Yes, Nas is producing the film. So he's putting up the money for it. And Rappaport's directing it, yeah.
All right, excellent. Well, we look forward to that then. That'll be something to look out for. Hopefully that'll be, what, early next year, something like that?
Yeah, I would think mid-next year.
Mid-next year.
He's still shooting now, so...
All right, excellent. Well, we look forward to it, and of course, we look forward to LP. He's on his way.
Let's go.
Three's the magic number. Columbo Black, straight from the West Coast.
Girl, I'm feeling, man. Matter of fact, I got a fuel for, man.
Yeah, I saw you with her last night up at the Bellagio. Band.
For all the women out there on the night of the sluts.
Chick, man, I seen you. You know what I mean? You was trying to get on and whatnot.
Hey, man, I'm just trying to give her my story, fam. It's nothing.
That's what I'm talking about, man.
Yeah, yeah.
And all the droopy British women listening right now.
Throwing a party.
Where would we be without you?
Oh. True lies.
I ain't settling no time soon, man. I'm having fun drinking, you know what I mean? Just a little bit.
Pirelli only ride with 12, fam.
Oh, it's Pirelli. Yeah. Yeah. She probably waiting for the best. Well, that's when I step in. Compliment her dressing. Play it cool. I ain't gonna let her know I'm wealthy. I'm just gonna show her a meal to spin and tell her help me. I'm just gonna fly her out to Spain. Put $100,000 in cash in a purse and simply tell her do her. I got enough to spend. And baby girl, all you do is make me feel good within. You deserve the world. And I can buy 55% of it. I think I'm falling for you. I'ma put you on my benefits. I'ma buy you that necklace on Titanic. Yep, that blue diamond I was gigantic. You make me wanna get your fingerprint scanned for the security system at the house out in France.
Yeah, that's yours.
Tell the world I'm your man and I'll buy you a private island in the Bahamas. Girl.
Let's go,
let's go, let's go. And I'll buy you a yacht, girl. What you want, a cream drop, is yours. Yeah. Say diamonds all girl, best friend, right?
Stand up. Yeah.
This is so sexy
together, baby.
Yeah.
Mwah. Water beds with champagne in them, my sex is bubbly. In North Portugal, scoping chicks in red Humvees. I wink at them, all the more watches a bling at them. My entourage, female assistants in pink phantoms. Sick males blowing me kisses. Next minute, my tongue is in their mouth like they ordered some dentures. Yeah, I'm nasty, KY squeezer and lime beamers. Walking out of 8-deck loss with 5 Belizeans. Nice beaches, German jet skis, Gucci wetsuits. Tinted goggles give me such a bougie present. You the type I trick a mill on, break you off like dead leaves. You need to stop messing with dead bees. Had a neck and wrist Tiffany'd out, daily manicures. Your favorite color is brown, get you a bacon paw. Let's stay indoors, taste bears, embrace the fall. Or we can fly to Egypt and take a tour.
Just take it off.
Just say you like the watches gleam. The way the chain hang and swing. Russian weasel fur, I'm handsome. Yeah, cups of Remy in the mansion. Let's go.
got up.
Three's the magic number.
My goal is to be one of the most fearsome scenes. I'm slated to be a billionaire by 2019. I flip bars for fun. A lot of rappers get hung. Even the ones with the most confidence get these bars stung. But I'm most poisonous lyricist. Leave your arm numb. For reaching for some dap for my man to collapse lungs. When I bake like a cake, man, y'all cats can't get a crumb. This red velvet swagger, bag chicks for fun. I do this shit here for fun. When I spit this effortlessly, it ain't hard to triple sums. To sum it up, my platforms and stacks of ones that are as tall as a small building. It's a couple of million of them. It's set stuff up, you can't win them. Do snitching, send you up the river like Huck Finn. I'm definitely a literary giant with the pen. I throw you off the boat, you got no choice but to swim. Bands D. Bars that bomb fake front manages the front like the artist's hard. Who you like? I body him and his squad verbally, but I gotta reach the masses with some realness urgently. Certainly, I think I'm one of the best that's working. See, what I've been through, you really can't parallel or hurt to me. Everybody I thought was friends was just using me. A lot of industry dudes is fake. Ain't nothing new to me. I'm here to stay. No matter what the critics say, I do this all day. With my eyes closed, dirty is how I play. Ain't nothing fair here. Hating bullets in the air. One wrong move, spend your life in a wheelchair. These niggas sleepy time, fuck, I listen to the rhyme. I'm one of the nicest niggas in New York on the grind. If you don't recognize, fuck it, I ain't too surprised. Cause y'all co-sign bullshit all the time. History, they take shots at a stellar man, they keep missing me. I keep striving for more, you keep pissing me off. Cause you lazy and your balls ain't where they supposed to be. Breaking them down like compounds, give them a dose of me. Feeding the fam the right thing, the mental groceries are supposed to be. Further up the ladder than currently, but I'm relentless and the powers that be are not deterring me. I move so fast that the town is just a blur to me. I'm Brooklyn bound, but Jersey's part of my family tree. Big up my peoples up north, some of y'all be home soon. And when you do, don't be acting like cool. So you be back for the third time, fourth time, fifth time. While I be pushing a vet, blowing a cush dime. See, I push clips, push rhymes, push crimes. And y'all be pushing that dirt weed all the time. Yeah. Shabazz and Deacon Nick Wiz. Back at it. Yeah. That raw dope. Snip it up, yeah. It's that kill kill. Know what I mean? It's the kids from Brooklyn and Tina. Chill. Yeah. Day after day, it's real life. No. Another day in my life, and every day is the same. And sometimes it gets lame doing the same thing. I'm trying to switch it up. Feel? Yeah. I gotta work a 9 to 5 just to stay alive and provide for my fam in any way that I can. Wake up early, 4:45 in the AM. Hit the shower, gotta be out the door in an hour. Takes about an hour to get over to the job. I work hard for nothing, it seems like. And these times call for extreme measures, so I'm supreme in my endeavors and never retreat from bad weather. Head back to the crib round 4 in the evening. All I got to look forward to is cooking and cleaning. But it's worth it, cause I do it for my family's love and stay working for the man above for sure. This may seem a bit
odd to some folks, and it might be a little complicated for dumb folks. I'm willing to go the whole nine yards for my folks, cause they're part of my team and my daily routine. Another day in my life and every day is the same, and sometimes it gets lame doing the same thing. I'm trying to switch it up and keep it lively and put them negative thoughts behind me day after day. Another day in my life and every day is the same, repetitive. I need a second to regain my strength. I'm trying to switch it up and keep it lively and put them negative thoughts behind me day after day.
When the sun rises, I open my eyelids to a new vision. A stable mind and comfortable living, that's what's keeping me driven. Through my 9-to-5 hustling, day after day, out of body mind struggling to get that pay. Juggling jobs, what are the odds, gotta pray. Times is hard, talk to God every day. A better day is coming down the road. It's a blessing in the message here to lighten up your load.
My people witnessed the murder, touched the gap, heard the gunshot, taste the blood and smell the body rot. That's 5 senses day after day. They gotta live with a part-time USA. Procrastination is the thief of time. I'm not the one to live a life of going to do, die with nothing done. I'ma put divine grace in your face. I'm all about elevating you, blocking the staircase.
Another day in my life and every day is the same, and sometimes it gets lame doing the same thing. I'm trying to switch it up and keep it lively and put them negative thoughts behind me day after day. Another day in my life and every day is the same, repetitive. I need a second to regain my strength. I'm trying to switch it up and keep it lively and put them negative thoughts behind me day after day.
I never pitched a 666 or play or catch the 7. Spiritually hot like a match made in heaven. See there, you must prepare. How can I fall when the cleanest MC couldn't wear my dirty drawers? I done seen it all. Brothers caught up in traps, thinking life is a table dance, it ain't gonna fall in your lap. We all must adapt. The pain produces joy. When you bite the bullet, you know, like Bruce Leroy. The oldest of 3 boys with no fictional dreams. Teaching the chicken hoarder how to spread their wings. I'm ahead of them simple schemes. Why get fed up? A redneck wasn't designed to keep a black head up. But I guess I said enough. This stuff is undistorted. Why worry about the future when you can prepare for it? I ain't no spirit poet, my folks told me a lot. They passing the torch, but we dropping it like it's hot.
Another day in my life and every day is the same, and sometimes it gets lame doing the same thing. I'm trying to switch it up and keep it lively and put them negative thoughts behind me day after day. Another day in my life and every day is the same, repetitive. I need a second to regain my strength. I'm trying to switch it up and keep it lively and put them negative thoughts behind me day after day.
Three's the magic number, Peter Rosenberg, Montana Menace. We now welcome to the show, LP. Welcome, LP, to Three's the Magic Number.
Thank you very much.
All right, listen, man. It's a pleasure for you to take the time out. We know you're extremely busy at the moment.
Yeah, you know, just sitting here in my Brooklyn apartment, sharpening sticks and, you know, hoping that the riots don't go off anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Right, here's what we're going to do tonight. On this show, we're going to be talking, of course, about the history of yourself as a man, as an artist, and also, of course, of your label moves and the incredible things you've done for independent hip-hop throughout your time in the game and before that. So to begin all that, I'm going to pass over to Menace. He's going to kick things off. Menace, it's on you.
How you doing, Al? You good?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good. Real well. Thanks, man. What we wanted to do in this interview, you know, is really take it back for the jump. You know, for the younger listeners listening who might not be familiar with, you know, your earlier days on the come up. You know, you came up in an era where it was all about being heard and respected rather than, you know, today where artists just care about being seen and feared. What can you tell us, you know, and our listeners about your experience with Company Flow? I mean, where did it begin pre-Funk Crusher, the EP?
Yeah. I mean, basically, Company Flow for me began just because I got kicked out of every high school. Sorry, there's a little phone on the other line. I got kicked out of every high school I ever went to, and basically just for being a juvenile delinquent in Brooklyn. And I just, all I wanted to do was stand around and rap. And basically, you know, that's kind of what Company Flow evolved from, just years and years of just being in New York City, just being a lover of hip hop culture, graffiti, breakdancing, MCing, and just kind of like all the weird, you know, thoughts that I had, you know. And once I met up with Justin and Len, that kind of just, you know, we all kind of had the same sort of idea, you know. We came from the school of trying to be the nastiest MCs possible, you know. For us at that time, it was just like, you just had to, if someone came out, you know, we would just battle, you know, we would just go around at different parties and battle people. It wasn't no it wasn't no commercialized type of thing. It was just simply just people hanging out, you know? And you know, some kid had some kid in his school that was nice and they'd have to bring him to me, and you know, it was just fun. And but basically it was like, you know, if you're gonna have four things that you're gonna say in two bars, I'm gonna say 12 things in two bars. And that's kinda how the style came about. And it was really just years and years and years of being a fan of the music, you know? And eventually after making demos, and this was back in the day when people actually used to make demos for years, you know? And, you know, it just came to a point where we started to get a little reputation in the city, and we started to take it really seriously. And I guess the rest is somewhat history. I mean, Stretch Armstrong and Bobbito were a big part of that in terms of, you know, they embraced us on their show and brought us up, and we kind of earned a reputation for being raw, and our tapes were circulating around, and you know, it was this real just sort of slow organic thing that happened, and it just all of a sudden it just picked up, and you know, we instead of taking it to a label, we just decided, you know what, why don't we just take this money that we've been, you know, working 9 to 5 in bullshit jobs for, and just put something out ourselves, you know, and we did, and that kind of started the whole beginning. That kind of was, you know, for us, that was the you know, the catharsis that sort of pushed you know, certainly me into the direction of really wanting to see how far I could take it and as an independent, you know, musician and someone who wasn't really bothering with all the other shit. Like someone, you know, we should kind of wanted to take our community and see what we could do with it, you know.
You dropped the single, you know, Juvenile Techniques in 93 with Len, and I mean, at this point, just hasn't joined the group yet, you know, and it's still a relatively fresh point in your career. At which point did you and Len say to yourselves, you know, we need to change and decide to reach out to Big Just, you know, to become an addition of Company Flow, and how much of a joint decision was that for you and Len for him to join?
Yeah, I mean, that just kind of happened. I mean, you know, Just was working with the label that put that single out, Libra Records, which was owned by a rapper named Antex who had a record out on Tough City back in the day. And so he started his independent label and he was going to put me out. So it was basically me as Company Flow. I did the record and then Len came in and he added the couplet and the chorus and I was like, yo, join the group. Just was our boy from that label and we ended up just getting really tight, all three of us. And he was living with me at the time and we just all were sitting around sort of, you know, smoking a lot of weed and just writing raps and basically,
right.
We just kind of were doing music together. And the original idea was that we were gonna, you know, he was gonna guest appearance on my stuff. I was gonna produce some of his stuff, and it ended up just being like we had these songs, you know, 8 Steps to Perfection and Vital Nerve were kind of the two songs that we were playing with at the time, and it was like, and we just were so close, you know, it was just natural. We were like, hey, you know. Fuck it, why don't we just make it a trio? And that's really what happened. It wasn't any big decision, it's just kind of us just being friends, you know.
Alright. So I mean, you dropped the Front Crusher EP in 96, you know, as you said, through the labored official recordings with you know, obviously Just now being a core member, it's now you, Len, and Just. You know, there's this big surrounding Front Crusher. There's this big buzz surrounding Front Crusher, should I say. What labels were showing you interest at this time? I mean, did you ever foresee what was about to happen in your career and life?
We didn't really know. I mean, we didn't really know. I had a bad, you know, the first single that I put out, I was displeased with the situation. I didn't enjoy that experience doing, you know, dealing with the other label. And we put out, you know, we kind of put our dough, everything we had into this EP and pressed it up ourselves with the help of a couple of other people. And all of a sudden, you know, yeah, like you said, there was this buzz and we were, you know, this is during a time where you could really actually make some money selling vinyl, you know, and we started to make a little bit of money and we were like, oh shit, you know. So we were really sort of not, our ideas of going to another label really weren't there. I mean, we had people knocking on our door, various different people knocking on our door, and we took some meetings and basically when it all came down to it, we were like, you know what, if we're going to do this, I mean, it was probably sort of arrogance on our part, but we were like, you know, I'm making money now, you know, at the time of being like 18, 19, 20, I was like, you know, hey, I can live off this shit forever, you know, I, of course, naively thought that, and, you know, basically what it was is we just sat down, and I was like, look, why don't we just make our own contract, and why don't we just hand it to people, and, you know, and that's kind of what we did, we just created our own contract, the way that we thought it should go down. And we held it up. And, you know, when the various different labels, there were about five or six different labels, everyone from majors to independents, trying to sign us. And at the end of the day, the terms that we had, the only people that were willing to go for the terms that we had were Ruckus. So, you know, that's kind of how that happened. It was like, you know, we didn't really know where it was going to go. We just knew that we didn't give a fuck. You know, we just knew we wanted to do the music we wanted to make, and we didn't want anyone to tell us to change it or do anything differently. That's all we cared about. We just cared about our art at the time, and we wanted to make sure that we got a fair deal. And, you know, and to Ruckus's credit, I think that they were open to that, so...
I mean, fast forward to 96, you guys, you know, obviously, as you said, decide to settle with Ruckus and you drop your debut album, Fun Crusher Plus, and boom, you know, yeah. this big buzz comes again, you know, on a label that went on to become an arguably, you know, one of the most successful and independent hip-hop labels of, you know, that era. How did you initially feel, you know, being the first act signed to Ruckus and having a first album to come out on Ruckus? How big of a sense of accomplishment was that for you, man?
Well, I mean, the funny thing is that, and maybe that goes to the impact that particular record had for Ruckus. But Ruckus had been putting albums out for like at least 4 or 5 years. Ruckus had a bunch of records out, but they were doing everything from dance music to a little bit of rap, a little bit of rock. They didn't really have a direction, and I think there was this sort of momentum behind Company Flow and our whole scene, really in New York and on the West Coast, that even extended and. I think they kind of saw what was happening, and they wanted to embrace it. So, I mean, we didn't know what was going to happen. We felt like we felt excited that we were putting a record out and that we were getting some people to put some money behind it. Not much, but enough to promote it. To us, it was a big deal, and you know, we felt great. I mean, the response was crazy, and I don't, you know, the fact of the matter is, man, I don't think we ever expected it to be much more than us just kind of doing our own thing and just making our own music, and then it started to get bigger than that. And I mean, yeah. We were cocky. We thought that our music was dope, but at the same time, we weren't stupid. I mean, the shit we were doing was raw, and it didn't sound anything like the music that was successful at the time. You know, so
no,
we didn't think it was going to be successful. We just thought if the right people heard it, that they would appreciate it, just on some hip hop fan shit, because we were the ultimate fans. You know, that's how we thought of ourselves. You know, so I mean, I was really grateful for everything that went down.
I mean, that's one of the greatest aspects of Company Flow is that, you know, the fact that you guys are actually and were actually fans first and foremost.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, that was our whole shit. I mean, we were so in love with the culture of the music and of the culture of hip hop in general, and it affected us so much. I mean, you know, it effectively saved each of our lives individually. You know, gave us direction and it gave us something to pour our lives into. And so, you know, that was really what we were about. We were just about, you know, honoring it, you know, as much as we possibly could. And we had very specific ideas of what honoring it meant. You know, we were coming up to graffiti writers, and you know, we all thought that it was about style. You had to have your own style. You had to contribute something. You had to do something that represented what hip hop was, but also suggested what it could be as well. You know, and you know, our idea was that we wanted to take it and do something that people hadn't done with it yet. You know, that was what we had in our head, and not like we wanted to do something that wasn't hip hop, but like we wanted to be the illest at it. You know, we wanted to have the illest style possible. You know,
period. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, two years after the album, you know, later Finn starting to change. You know, just decides to go his own way and do the solo thing. You and Mr. Lang continue on to put out product, release, you know, Little Johnny from the hospital. Until all of a sudden, things start to sour between you and Ruckus. Well, you know, what happened? Yeah. What's the official story of why Company Flow, and especially LP, left Ruckus?
I mean, look, you know, I've gone over it a bunch of times, but the reality of it is it just stopped being the right situation for us. You know, there are various different reasons that I had in my head at the time. But if I look back at it now, it just was simply that, you know, a multitude of things. You know, it was just a time of change within my head and the whole thing. You know, like you said, Jeff wasn't in the group anymore. Me and Lem were doing it, but you know, I wasn't particularly pleased with everything that was going on at Ruckus in terms of internal dealings. You know, you know, like everyone has those experiences, And I thought that there was I had something different in mind. I thought that there was something that I could get involved in that just kept up for me what would be the original intention of what I was trying to do. And for me at the time, the right move was to get out of that contract and to start something that I felt, you know, I could be completely proud of and that I could and that I can contribute to in a way I wanted to. And that's really all it was. You know, it's like, you know, the Raucous thing was amazing for us. It did great things for us. But I've never been the type of artist who, I've kind of always followed my heart. And at the time, it just felt like the right thing to do would be to go at it on my own and try and create something, with the vision that I had at that time. And that ended up being Def Jerks, you know.
I mean, to this day, I still think had Raucous not fucked up with you guys, then they probably would have been bigger than they were back then. No doubt. No doubt, man.
Well, look, the reality of it is that regardless of whether or not, you know, you say Raucous fucked up, you know, the fact of the matter is that we broke up, you know. Company Flow broke up. I mean, and because the fact is that we've been doing shit since 93. The Raucous shit didn't come out till 97. Now, we went all over the world touring, but we had been doing shows for years, and we had been, you know, grinding, and eventually we just got sick of each other. You know, we were exhausted, you know, and it just so happened that right at the peak of when we were just kind of blowing up, we kind of just told each other to fuck each other, you know. Yeah. And obviously we don't feel that way anymore, but at the time that was just what it was. It was like we were just tired, man. And so I don't know how much Raucous could have done, how much more Raucous could have done for us. I mean, you know, and I needed to do something for me, and it just, I kind of happened the way it had to happen, I think, you know.
So I mean, how helpful was it as you moved into a solo career that you were in a group that solidified this Company Flow? I mean, we know that the first Company Flow single featured you just rhyming with Mr. Len doing the cuts, but yeah. Did you initially have any plans to go in solo prior to Company Flow breaking up?
I mean, I really didn't, to be honest. I didn't. I thought Company Flow was it. I thought it was going to be forever. I couldn't see a future. I felt so good about it, and it was going so well, and I felt artistically like it was what I wanted to do at the time. And so when it kind of came to a halt, it threw me for a loop. I hadn't ever really considered putting myself out. You gotta understand, Company Flow was, I was solo originally with Company Flow. I mean, I was never trying to put myself out there like LP, you know. It was always like, I always had the group name, you know. Even if it was just going to be me, I always wanted it to be the group name. And it just happened that way. And it took a while for me to adjust to it. But then I started to realize, like, you know, okay, this could be a good thing. Because it allowed me to, as a solo artist, you know, move into a different direction. Well, Company Flow was really just about talking shit, you know. It was really just about being a dope rapper and making some raw shit. And I had never really examined what you could do if you just take, it's like, all right, well, now I'm gonna talk about myself a little bit. And so, you know, the LP shit kind of came at a time where it was like, well, this is dope, because now I get to actually talk a little bit about who I am. I get to actually, I don't think if you listen to the Company Flow records, you might get my attitude and you might get where I grew up, but you're not necessarily going to like really know anything about who I am. And so that's what I took for the LP shit. I was like, well, I'm going to let the world who may have gotten to know me through something else, I'm going to give them something that they haven't heard from me yet. And I'm going to actually tell them a little bit about my life and how I grew up and the way I feel personally about things. And, you know, so it was good.
And of course, you know, being fed up with the label politics and industry bullshit back then, you know, sticking to the saying independent as fuck, you co-found Def Jock Records in 1999. What was the process like, man?
I mean, first we had to get out of the Raucous deal, and that took a good year, you know. I mean, you have to understand, we walked away from a lot of money. We had a contract with Raucous that would have pumped a good amount of money into our pockets, and excuse me, and I was just so certain that I wanted to be out of that situation, and you know, I had to fight for it. They weren't really trying to let me go, and we fought for it, and we had to end up striking a deal to them that to get out of that. That most people would say we were insane. You know, we only owed them one more record, but we ended up walking away from a lot of dough to do this, and you know, but from that point on, I had a reputation in the industry as, and I knew, you know, as someone who, you know, had something going on, I guess, and we used those relationships that we formed, doing our own independent label and helping build up Raucous, and, you know, to start the Def Jest thing. And basically all it was me just taking all the money I had saved up, you know, which wasn't that much, but it was everything I had, and putting it into trying to make some records and step into a distribution company and hoping that someone, you know, picked up on it. And we were lucky because, you know, there were people who were into it. And it was really just a humble start. You know, we didn't get some crazy amount of money or anything. It was just, we just were just, you know, trying to really do great music. And we had a vision, and that's kind of how it started. You know, it was just a matter of hooking up with a distribution company and getting it rolling. And then, you know, we kind of had a squad of people that were down with us that were working on it. And we sort of slowly learned how to become a label. You know, it was a process of about 4 years. We didn't know what the fuck we were doing, really.
Yeah. I mean, out here in the UK, there's a lot of people, sort of hip-hop entrepreneurs, so to speak, that like to paint themselves as self-made men, when really, you know, they're blagging grants, they're getting charity handouts left, right, and centre. Let me ask you this, then. Who and what made Definite Jux the label it is today?
I would have to put it squarely on the artists. You know, I mean, that's it, man. You know, it's like, to me, I never wanted a record label. I just wanted to be able to do music and to be able to do something positive for people I thought were great musicians, and people who I liked and was working with. And, you know, it wouldn't be shit. You know, Def Jest really, to me, Def Jest doesn't mean shit except the sum of you know, a collective artist group, you know, a bunch of people who have different ideas and visions and made great records. I mean, we wouldn't be shit without that, honestly. And that's all it is, man. It's all it is. If Def Jest were to disappear tomorrow, the only tragedy would be if we couldn't put out, you know, an Aesop Rock or a Cage or a Mr. Lift or, you know, I mean, you know, this is the lifeblood of the label. Beyond that, I'd have to say it was squarely on myself and my manager and partner in the label, Amici, just because we grinded it out and we really busted our ass to get the thing off the ground. But, you know, that alone is not enough. You know, you have to have some great music, and I think we were lucky to have that, at least to me.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you feel about people, particularly hip hop heads, now viewing Def Jux as a major label or part of the mainstream?
I think that they ought to come take a look at our office and then make that judgment. You know, I think that if I was a major label, I'd be a lot fucking happier. I probably wouldn't even be here. I'd be on vacation. But the fact of the matter is that we're very much an independent label. We've never taken a dollar from a major corporation, at least not directly. And you know, we're self-funded and we're self-run, and we struggle like any other independent label. I mean, there are good years and there are bad years, you know. There are times when we have to really, really fucking buckle down just to make ends meet, and there are times when things are going great. So I think that, you know, the public perception of where we're at is flattering to me, but it's also not completely accurate, because it's like, you know, I think that just comes from the fact that we've been really lucky and gotten some good exposure for our artists, you know. But at the end of the day, man, we're certainly not a label. We're certainly not a major label. There's no questioning that one. You know, we're grinding it out every single day, you know.
What about yourself, then? I mean, how hard is it to strike a balance between a solo artist and a businessman?
It's hard, man. It's hard. I'm not going to front. It's very hard. To some degree, this label has been the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. And to some degree, it's meant sacrificing my personal career to a degree in a way that I had never thought that I would do. You know, there aren't a lot of artists that you'll meet that are more than, you know, that are about more than just themselves and their careers. And I always thought that it was all about me when I was a kid. I just wanted to go as far and as big as I possibly could and to do the music I wanted to make. And then my life kind of changed, and all of a sudden I realized that I had, you know, I had more than just myself in my hands, and I had to try and, you know, do right for other people. And it's something that I love doing. It's something I feel proud about doing. It's also really hard to do because, you know, it's a risky thing to have someone's future in your hands. It doesn't always go right, and it's difficult. And more than that, though, sometimes it's hard to find the time for me to just, like, do the music I want to do. That's, in a way, that's kind of why it took me so long to release I'll Sleep When You're Dead, you know? Because I had a lot of other people I had to work with and had to set up and make sure that they were doing good before I really dove into that. And when I do my records, I disappear. No one can even get me on the phone for a good year. So, you know, that's basically, it's a sacrifice that I'm trying to figure out how to balance. I you know, I'm really in it just because I'm a musician. I just love hip hop music and I want to make it. And that's what I'm about. In the meantime, you know, I'm trying as hard as I can to balance, you know, the fact that I have a responsibility to make sure it pops off for other people. So. Mm.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, aside from your responsibility for all the artists that belong to you, if we use that phrase, what about your style then? Many of our listeners have used adjective to describe you over the years. Words such as claustrophobic. Right. How do you feel
about
that?
All the sort of journalism 101 buzz terms.
Yeah,
claustrophobic. Yeah. Well, let me say one too. Apocalyptic. How about that one?
Yeah, that's another one. Yeah, that's apocalyptic. Yeah, futuristic. Yeah, futuristic. That's another one.
Sure.
Where does this come from? Where does this sound come from? Where does this almost painful sound come from?
I mean, you know, it comes from my city. You know, it's like, it's hard to explain to somebody, but, you know, it's the way I'm tuned, man. And you know, when you live and grow up in a city like this, sometimes, if you're like me and you're really tuned into it and you're affected by it, it's really hard to take away all the things that are going on around you out of your music. It's not really a conscious choice for me, but it's like, look, when I'm sitting here and you know, you hear ambulances, you hear kids playing, you hear cars, you know, bumping into each other and honking, you hear planes going on overhead. Two dudes just got shot in the head one block away from me at 10 o'clock this morning, you know. It's like, it's hard for me to take those factors and to not have them be incorporated into my music. And I guess I've tried to explain it to people. It's like, look, you know, A, there are a lot of people that make music that's designed to make you feel good, and they're probably really good at it. I'm not one of those people, and it's just not. I'm making this music as a way to try and contain the chaos, to try and make some sort of order out of the chaos that is around me, and to take it apart and put it back together in a way that I can control and make some sense out of it. This is, for me, it's strictly an artistic thing, you know, and I can't do any music that's outside of the spectrum of the way that I feel and live and the things that I see and it's just who I am, man, and to a large degree, it's who my city is, I totally understand what people are not in the in a position where they feel like they can just throw my shit on all the time, because you're not going to throw on one of my records and then eat dinner with your girl. It's just not going to happen. You know, you're going to throw on one of my records in your headphones and go out bombing, or you're going to throw it on in the subway, or you're going to throw it on when you're angry or upset, or when you're amped up, and you know, it's just kind of my perspective on things. You know, that's just all it is.
Yeah, and the influence. Now, you mentioned there about the influence of where you live, and now that influences directly the music and the direction you take. What about then your appreciation, if we use that word, of the United Kingdom scene that we've got out here in the UK? And I mean, a lot of our listeners, of course, have been saying, do not, whatever you do, forget to ask about Dizzy Rascal. Now, that's the pitch that a lot of people have been asking. Now, how did that come about, and where is that going, more importantly?
I mean, it came about because we were fans of his music, you know. That's period. That's all it is. I mean, I heard his stuff over the years, and I just thought a lot of it was really just raw. And he had his management had a friendship with my partner Amici. And when it came time for them to do a record, I think they were looking for a label that was more of a rap label, and that you know, someone a little bit more like us as opposed to the people that he was working with before in America. And we just met up, and I just really liked the cat, and he reminds me a lot about, you know, a lot of, you know, me when I was, you know, in my early 20s, and I just think it was just one of those, just, it's just a respect thing. I mean, you know, I just think he's just a real cat. He really is a good dude, and he's just got an intensity and a desire to make, you know, to make music that I just really like about him. And I just thought, you know, this is kind of just crazy enough to work, you know, that's all. I've been a fan of UK hip hop ever since I got exposed to UK hip hop in all its various forms, from the grimier stuff to, you know, to the, I'm sorry if you use the word grimier, cause that means something else now, but to the raw stuff, to the more experimental stuff, you know, dudes like Skinny Man and Chesapeake and Roots Maneuver and Jest and Dizzy and, you know, a whole bunch of people that I've gotten a chance to meet and hang out with and listen to their music over the years. And I was always confused as to why none of this stuff ever came over to America. And I always felt kind of bad about it. Every time I would be over there, we'd get crazy love. The shows would sell out. People would lose their minds. And then I'd come over here and I realized that none of these cats over there are really making any noise, and like no one's trying to support them or bring them over, or no one's saying like, you should be listening to this. This is interesting. You know, this might not be exactly where you're from, but it's the same thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of the way I felt about with Dizzy, you know, I just liked the cat and you know, he makes some raw ass music. And of course he also makes some pop music, and that's not necessarily what I do, but it was the raw aspect of what he does that I really dug, and we just got along as people, so it just made sense, you know.
Absolutely. The second part of the question there was, where is that going? I mean, where is the Dizzy Rascal thing going?
I don't know, man. You know, I mean, I don't know. You know, Dizzy's his own man. Dizzy's doing incredibly well over in the UK and in Europe, and he's not as well exposed over here, but. You know, it don't matter to me where it's going. I just like the cat. That's my boy. Like, that's my friend. And, you know, I think it's going wherever he wants it to go, really. I'll just be happy if he blows up here, even if it's not on Def Jam. So I just think I just think that door needs to be kicked open, basically.
Absolutely. Now, of course, in Dizzy Rascal's history, as you'll know, you know, he was seen as an artist who made grime, and you referred to it there with the grimier reference. How much grime music from the UK have you been exposed to, apart from, say, Dizzy's earlier work?
I've been exposed to a lot of it. I mean, the weird thing is, to me, it doesn't, you know, you guys named it grime, or at least the journalists named it grime or some shit. I'm assuming that's what happened, that I don't know exactly how, but to me, listening to it, it just sounded like dope rap music that was over a different type of production, you know? And, you know, it didn't sound so crazy to me, but maybe that's just because I'm a fucked up person. I'm weird, you know? Like, it just sounds raw, and so I'm not really into categorizing shit. If you say it's grime, then it's grime, cool, but to me, I hear young urban kids rapping their asses off and, you know, with different flows and different styles, and I think there's a lot of, like, intersecting influences, you know, all hip-hop and all rap and all grime and all jungle and all these, and all house music. I mean, there's all this, there's a connection to it, isn't there? I mean, there's some sort of correlating lines of influence, you know, be it Planet Rock or be it, you know, be it even like, you know, a lot of these cats, like, you know, Dizzy or whatever, you know, they listen to like more Southern music, more Southern rap music than they do East Coast shit over here. You know what I mean? It's like, it's all hip hop culture to me, honestly. I just like dope music and, you know, I've heard a lot of dudes out there, and I think it's dope, man, personally.
Absolutely, yeah, and you're quite right about the media labeling. That's something, of course, we have the classic gangster rap, you know, just the media. Right, the media create these very neat, convenient labels, absolutely.
Right, and at first it's cool because you have a way to talk about something that's happening, but then eventually it's like, well, you know, it's only cool until the media decides that what they've just labeled, they're going to move on from. I mean, the reality of it is this is just kids in the street, urban cats making music, and that's the way that it is. And you mean you can put a name on it, but at the end of the day, this has just been happening forever. You know, it's just different sounds. That's all.
Absolutely. What about any current UK hip hop acts that you're planning to build with, or you'd like to build with in the future?
You know, I I haven't really thought about it in the last year or so. I've been running around and touring and doing this with Dizzy, and there are a lot of people out there that I have a lot of respect for. I still, to this day, I tell him every time I see him, I got to do a joint with Skinny Man. That's like one of the first cats that we ever hooked up, that company Flo hooked up with, when we went out to the UK and the first time in 1996. We did our first show out there at the Jazz Cafe, and ended up meeting up with those dudes, Mud Sam, but I mean, I'm open to it, man. I'm gonna come over there and hang out for a while soon, and I definitely want to get some cats, some music, and I mean, I've been lucky because I'm one of the few artists in my scene that's been able to consistently travel over there. Everyone's always given me love, and you know, I think I've just been exposed to it maybe more than a lot of people in America. So I look at it as something that's just natural that should happen, you know.
In the light of your current tour and shows, you just were mentioning you being busy doing shows and whatnot, so I bring this up. How has the importance of the stage and performing changed for you? You know, some people think that, you know, it's come to the point where it's shrunk into the point of irrelevance, while, you know, a lot of other people think that, you know, there's still hope. What are your thoughts on this, man?
In terms of still hope, in terms of what, performance in general, like for hip-hop?
Performance, yeah, in general, hip-hop performance.
I mean, look, you know, the fact of the matter is that we all know that, like, it's oversaturated, you know, and so it just basically boils down to the difference between a really dope show and a not so dope show, you know. And I think it's a huge deal, man, especially in this industry right now where the record sales are shrinking. And basically, you know, one of the biggest ways to get out there is to you know, give a great show. And I think it's hugely important. I know personally for me, I take it very seriously, and I think that it shows in the show, and I think that the artists that I'm down with really, really take it seriously. You know, 2008 is you can't just come out and just smoke a bunch of weed, walk on the stage and with some sunglasses on, and just kind of just talk some shit, nod back and forth. I mean, it just is not competitive in the general world of music, and that's why you got a lot of people who move away from hip hop because they're bored of the shit. They're bored of being told to say ho, you know what I mean? They're bored of, like, you know, they're bored of, you know, you've seen it a million times. They're looking for people to be just as innovative in their show as they are in their music, and I think that's on the artist. You just really have to rehearse your ass off and try and come up with something that's interesting. If I want to listen to a bad version of your record, then I'll go to your show if that's all it is. You know, it's like if it's going to be something different, if you're going to be doing something live that's going to bring an energy that's, you know, that's different than, you know, and better than just simply sitting in my room and listening to your record, then I think then that's when you're doing all that. And the fact is, it's so oversaturated right now that people have a lot of choices, and you better have a crazy ass show, even if it's just you just knowing how to command the mic and command the crowd. And that's one of the things that comes to, you know, that's one of the things that you kind of either have naturally. Some people have it naturally, but some people, you just got to work at it. And a lot of people will never do that. A lot of people will never put real time into that shit, you know? And that's why they get shit on, basically. That's how I see it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from seeing the clips on YouTube to reading reviews about your shows, it's obviously something that you personally, you know, in a Def Jux roster, take seriously, you know? I mean, do you think that you're is something that is missing these days from the audience, because the person on the stage really isn't that different to the people looking at them from the floor? Do you think aura is missing?
Do I think what's missing?
The aura?
The aura? Well, yeah. I mean, you know, I think so. You know, look, the fact of the matter is like, there's very little theatrics and very little showmanship in shows these days. And even when you just put a little bit of that in, and then I think that people really appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, look, I feel that way definitely. No one wants to pay $20 to go see some dude who looks exactly like them, get up on stage and act exactly like them, you know? And they, you know, they want to be blown away, and they want something exciting. And you know, I really take it serious. I try and make sure that that's the case. And you know, over the years, I've been pretty critical of myself. I took a look at myself, and I was like, yo, I don't really think that I'm giving the best possible show. After a while, I just kind of felt like I was going through the motions. So I took a long time to kind of retool what I was doing and to kind of look at it like, well, let me just go out here and give these people an excuse to lose their fucking minds. And And I think that that's, you know, that's like one of the most important things you can concentrate on as an artist. Mm-hmm. If you want to have, if you want to be meaningful to anyone, if you want to mean something beyond just putting out a little bit of music and you want to connect with people, then be that performer. Don't be that dude who's just, you know, walking, sauntering on a stage in the same, you know, with the same vibe and the same attitude as everyone else and literally not giving anything else. I mean, cats want to see that you're, like, you know, people see me or whatever, and they know that I'm not, like, some, you know, I'm not so different from them. But the fact is, when I'm doing a show, you just want it to be, I try and make it, you know, a show, as opposed
right.
to just, you're in my living room, you know?
Right, right. I'm going to ask you a very generic question. I mean, it's very rare that we ask our guests such generic questions, but, you know, as a producer who's always tried to capture a certain mood, you know, that translates as being the mood of your city, New York, who's bringing a sound right now that most resonates with yourself, man?
That's a good question, actually. It's not that generic.
Good.
you know what? That's a very interesting question. I'm not really sure that I can completely answer it. There's certain things here and there that kind of captured. I'll be honest, and I guess I'm kind of. Some people will completely disagree with me. Some people hate the fact that these guys exist. But there's certain rock bands that really capture for me. The Mars Volta, you know, like when I listen to their music, it's very powerful to me. I like Nine Inch Nails. I think that, you know, there's something there that always kind of strikes me. And then there's, you know, I'm a big fan of a lot of the stuff that people like, that like the Outkast guys do, and that, you know, even stuff that Kanye does. I'm always listening for new Just Blaze stuff, and I'm always listening. I like the dudes, Heat Makers who did all the Dipset stuff, and like,
yeah, man.
You know, there's I'm just a hip hop and music fan, and anything that's just like raw and big and just like and just gets me going, you know, and just strikes a mood. I think that the era of like the sort of the boring 4-bar loop for me is a little bit over, you know. That just kind of just gets boring to me after a while. It's like, all right, you know, I got that record too. You know, there's a lot of stuff out there, man. I'm excited when anyone comes out and kind of just gets my blood going, you know.
Great.
And I'm also bored pretty easily, so.
It's interesting that you mentioned Trent. You know, a lot of our listeners have been asking us to ask you, you know, with the recent release of Saul Williams and Trent Reznor doing an album last year, can we expect, you know, a collaboration with you guys?
Well, I mean, you know, he was obviously on I'll Sleep When You're Dead, and I did a remix for him. I did a remix for him a couple of years ago. I don't really know. That would be cool to me. I would always do that if, you know, Trent is a bit of an evil genius, and he's the kind of guy who's, you know, he's the kind of guy who's got a lot going on. I would love one day to do some sort of collaborative thing with him, but at this point, you know, I have no idea.
Okay, cool. That answers that listener question. What about the artistic connection between the MC and the producer shared today? I mean, you're somebody who's naturally hadn't have the ability to maintain, you know, true artistic connection with collaborators. You know, it's as if, you know, today most artists only collaborate to sell more or try to cross fan bases. How do you feel about the chemistry and collaborations within hip-hop in, you know, 2008? And are people collaborating just to collaborate these days?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I certainly hope not. I mean, I think that, yeah, obviously a lot of times that is the case. I think people see opportunity in it, you know. I think a lot of times people think that they're using each other to get somewhere. And really what it is they're just two people who don't know that much about the other person's music, and they just suck. You know, like, they just get together, you know. A lot of times it's like rappers have the worst taste in rock, rock has the worst taste in rap, and they get together and make a song, and it's just pandemonium. But I don't think it's always like that. And I know that for me, you know, and a lot of my friends and the people that I'm down with, we're such fans of music in general. You know, being a hip hop producer, I have thousands of records from all different genres of music and all different types of sounds and bands and different things that are going on, and that I'm influenced by, that I've sampled, that I take ideas from, or I am inspired by. So to me, collaborating with someone like Trent Reznor or Mars Volta or whatever, that's kind of like just me sampling a record. Except I don't have to clip it. I just have to, you know, it's like. it's right. kind of like my chance to get in on the ground level and kind of direct some of these people who do something I think is interesting. I probably would sample if I found it on a record, and just kind of bring them into my world, you know, but never at the expense of what I'm trying to do. I don't give a fuck about Cross, you know, I don't fuck about going somewhere else. I'm perfectly happy being who the fuck I am. And if nobody ever buys another record of mine, I'll still collaborate with people who I think are interesting. I just can't let it become about the collaboration. I think you have to make it about the song. I think it has to be a purpose to it. And if someone fits the bill, then you can get like some chemistry going, then that's a good thing.
It really goes back down to the saying, good music is good music, period.
Well, I believe that, and I also believe that hip-hop, like a lot of hip-hop fans, you know, sometimes they don't embrace who you're supposed to be, which is, you're supposed to be the most knowledgeable about music and the most open to music than any other type of fan in the world. All these rock and roll fans throughout the history of hip-hop have always said, fuck hip-hop, it's not real music, fuck you, but all we've said is, hey, your shit is dope. We're going to take it and change it and make it in our own. And we're supposed to be, by definition, the people who respect music, understand it, look at it as something bigger than just one thing, and the right way to do it. And you know, I think that when you discover that, it's easier to discover when you're a producer, because it's like, damn, I just realized I've been up. See, you hear the ambulance?
Yeah, man.
Damn, there's a new track on the way. Right.
That's New York.
Exactly. So, you know, so I'm like, to me, that's kind of how I look at it, man. I just, you know, I'm just that dude. I love music, and I despise bad music. But that doesn't mean that it's like, look, I used to think that everything I liked was the best music, and everything I didn't like was the worst music. And I kind of have realized as I've gone along and, you know, become more of whatever the fuck I am, a man, I don't know, is that that's not really the case. And you know, music hits you at different times for different reasons. And I think that there's room for a lot of different shit, you know.
Absolutely. Now, before we let you go off into the New York streets, let's get to some listener questions. You mentioned about the fans now. They've been asking so many things, want us to ask. So let's go to a few questions. One question coming in. How come Sea Ray's Walls, Merce, and Vast Air are no longer releasing via Def Jux, says one listener?
Merce got a major label deal, and we always were doing our stuff on an album-by-album basis. Vast Air was never signed to Def Jux. He was signed as a solo artist to Chocolate Industries. I tried to do the Cannibal Ox record, but Cannibal Ox basically just fell apart and broke up. And that's the fucking truth. And, you know, and we thought that we were going to do another Cannibal Ox record, and we really tried, and we did a deal, and we did all that, and it just ended up not being meant to be. And you know, at the end of the day, I would always do a Cannibal Ox record, but those guys just had some problems and, you know, couldn't quite get it together. So, and C-Race is my man, but, you know, at the end of the day, C-Race felt like we couldn't push his record the way he wanted to be pushed, you know, and, you know, we didn't sell as many copies as he wanted, and I think that he was upset by that, and he wanted to sell more copies, and, you know, we were upset too, because we really wanted to, you know, make C-Ray as a star, because we think he's brilliant, but sometimes these things happen. I mean, you know, the reality of it is this ain't a gang, this is just an independent record label, you know, it's like, I'm never going to be the dude who tries to, you know, hold anyone into anything, and you can't 100% of the time, you know, everything ain't going to go correctly 100% of the time. It's really hard to tell your friends, yo, your record didn't sell, you know what I mean? It's not an easy thing, but I got respect and love for all these guys, and you know, I just think everyone has to kind of just take their own path for different reasons. Merce was always trying to, you know, step to a different type of thing, and you know, I think he's doing an amazing job, and you know, I think his new record is great, and I speak to that dude like every week, so you know.
Absolutely. Okay, finally then, we've had one or two people who remember you from the online forum community that was or is Hip Hop Infinity. They are referring back to the days where you would be all over that forum, you'd be on there. This type of question now is, well, do you think it was a wise business move to put yourself and all your personal quirks all over message boards and all up in message board beefs?
Well, I mean, you know, that was years ago, kind of when I first discovered those message boards, you know. I didn't really know what to deal with. I think with everybody, when you first discover those things, a lot of artists kind of jump on them. And, now, the answer to that question is no. I do not think it was wise, and I do not engage in that in the same way that I used to. That was actually stupid.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we, as a station and as a radio show as well, we get duped into it, and people on the message boards, they can tempt you in, can't they? They can tempt you in when you can, you can, sometimes they can make you feel like punching the screen, and,
This is years ago, you know what I mean? This is 7 years ago. I don't think any of us, people like me, we didn't really know what the fuck the internet was, really, you know? Mm. And then we found out that there were all these message boards, and, you know, I remember a lot of artists jumping on and kind of reacting and even, you know, debating with people, and you start to realize that, you know, that's really not, you know, eventually it dawns on you what exactly it is, and, you know, I think it's silly and it's a mistake for artists to get involved in that and even to be upset or even read that stuff, because it's like, look, these are just places for people to talk shit and to hang out and give their opinions. You know, it's like you can't, you know, you wouldn't put a hearing device up to some random dude's home with a bunch of his buddies and listen in to his conversation and get offended if he said something about you. You know, it's like, and I think that, you know, I got to the point, you know, my brief stint on the internet in which I was involved in that stuff, where I realized that probably wasn't the greatest move. So.
No, absolutely. No, that's right. And like you say, it's just one of those forums. And I mean, we had Doug Stanhope, the stand-up comedian, on our show a few weeks ago, and he was talking about this, that, you know, now the internet gives everybody a say. It gives anybody and everybody feel very powerful now. They feel like their views will be heard. And to some extent, they're right. Their views will be seen.
And to some extent, that's a really good thing, and it should. Mm. But to another extent, if you're the type of person who's going to take offense to that, it's like being granted the ability to read people's minds and walking into a football stadium. You know, it's like, you know, you can't turn them off. You know, it's like, you know, do you really want to subject yourself to that? I think the answer usually is no. I mean, but the fact of the matter is that the internet is incredibly important, and it's important for all of us. And, you know, the real issue is more, you know, are there going to be forums where people can speak their opinions, you know? And I think that, you know, we're headed towards type of regulation, you know, that, say, China has. So I'm less concerned about, you know, this being on the internet in 2001. I'm more concerned about whether or not the internet is going to exist in 2009. In the same way that we all take for granted at this point, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kind of scary as to what they're trying to do.
Exactly, and we've had a good ride. We've had a very good ride. If anything did happen, finally, then a listener question asked by many people: will we have to wait a long time now for a new solo album from LP?
I really hope not, man. I mean, I vowed that I would have something out in 2009. I already got some songs. I'm finishing up helping Cage out with his record. I'm not doing all the production, but I'm doing a few things on there, and I'm really trying to come out in 2009. I got a lot to say, and I got music that didn't make the other record, and so, man, I'm trying to come out. I'm hopefully fourth quarter 2009.
Okay, excellent. LP, thank you so much for your time. All the best with everything. And I hope we stay in touch. And again, thank you for being on this edition of Three's the Magic Number.
This is Black Panther, and you listen to 333 is the Magic Number with Peter Rosenberg, Menace,
and
Mr. Montana every last Monday of the month at 9 p.m. on Conspiracy Worldwide Radio, RosenbergRadio.com, www.djblackpanther.com.
So much love and appreciation goes out to LP. Thank you so much for that. It was a blessing, a classic interview right there. Okay, we're going to end things up now, right here on Three's the Magic Number, episode 3. We're going to hand over to the one and only Mr. Dibs, alongside his man Killer Jewel. They've got an exclusive 20-minute mega mix they're about to jump into. It's Def Jux, it's LP-related. Let's go on this. ConspiracyUK.com, RosenbergRadio.com. This has been Three's the Magic Number. Mr. Dibs, Killer Jewel.
Lord, I am tired. Sometimes I wonder if you really understand.
This is the sound of what you don't know killing you. This is the sound of what you don't believe still true. This is the sound of what you don't know killing you. This is the sound of what you don't believe still true. What you don't know killing you. This is the sound of what you don't believe still true. This is the sound of what you don't know killing you. This is the sound of what you don't believe still true.
Cats know us, but this one don't. I'd have pierced his fucking thighless through your rookie ass throat. Yo, dude, don't step to me until you're ripe and through. I'm loopy from the invitations for funerals, glue. Stone palm does all combatants be assaulted through 56k high speed. Feels bliss like relaxed alcohol, geisha, fellatio D. Like fertilizer bomb, packed in time where air cargo compartment die. Stinky fuck revolution, shut all complaints to Rupert Murdoch. I black out in a mug of suburbanites with little stingers crew. You volunteer for the draft, stupid. That's on you. On some upper middle class romantic notion. So immortal scraps apply, cry gay section 8 escape like Klinger do. Cemented happy face and root back for pussy crew patch. Rockin' clan niggas with cut knees and hepatitis pulse. No vaccine. Plus 99% they're down when you still get respect. Silently questioning a direction. Like I'm a stop passenger section. Gilbert Grape against Magneto McGrady.
Price, Five Percy, Needle Pops,
Davy Jones, Worth Goliath,
I'm at Sullivan, Beatles, Clive,
I slow it down,
try to download this game, your format floppy disk, my head bob like epileptic, suck on my dick with some offbeat shit.
I love company flow.
You spoiled brat, little young saga, got a mommy bought my sampler taste.
I wanna be down.
Make sure every one sheet, snippet tape, fly, sticker, and t-shirt got a representation of my name and face.
I rock beats that Tina Yellers, morning sickness without makeup, ugly, dusty, fucked up, four track, dirty ass, crack, pirate, radio readiness.
Okay, fella, I own my master's lyrics, merchandise, mic, turntable, style, psychosis, pain, and penis.
Deranged, cadence, kill, syllable meters, UV needles.
Making gangsters in the crowd, throw bottles at my feet. Dip on light cycles, do data grids, since custom jeans, dapper Dan, airing a three fat goose wing, a disatron, a disavowable
adult. Sick, isn't it?
Bunker my piss, we attic, it's a dog dick. Try night monsters, but just a beanie baby after my profit. That's don't too much for hip hop, that doesn't respect this cock modeling. In 89, we called it tip dogging, but you wouldn't know that, bro.
Don't ever try to front like you know me or my people. By the way, Bordo, did I bite?
Yeah, right, that's fantasy lies. Snake, try it.
Like fucking, this whole shit is bananas.
Nah, just a verse.
One verse.
We're famous, was Rosemont telling you, crawl right the fuck in it. You forgot I'm a goddamn savage with a record of always winning. You don't really think that you're tough, nah, that anyone is ducking you. We played a sold-out show in Boston last week. Where the fuck was you? The very first jam on the set was We're Famous. I gotta say, it was a live show. That song is a crowd favorite. I feel great in Boston. Relaxed with good energy. You should go there sometime. Make the 20-minute trek from Beverly. You got the gumption to fuck with LP. When you're writing songs for wrestlers and a WB. Goddamn, is it that bad or were you just born a whore? What's the point of selling out if it doesn't help you sell in stores? Didn't you hear, dog? Wrestling is fake. It's just Roman and Speedo simulating gay rape. This is your dream of your career when you sent me that tape? Then in a year you would sell less than Aesop Rock on his first day?
Johnny from the Blueprint.
I think that shit's upside down. Cause the ceiling of your career shouldn't be laying on the ground.
Is hip-hop any better?
At least I got a
even flow.
Man, you can fit your whole fan base on a bridge of your nose. Nobody cares about your records. Nobody's scared of your friends. Nobody wants to do business. Nobody wants to invest. Not impressed with your trust fund money. Not in all of your daddy's Benz. Don't care if you wear Prada.
Why?
Prada is for gay men. Just an excuse to sharpen my blade to remind you who I am.
Oh.
I'm the guy who sold 80,000 worldwide and a child who sold 10. I'm the man with a happy fan base and a bitch with no hitch. Your greatest contribution to the music was introducing me to Lift. Bitch.
True words, motherfuckers, huh?
Face it, nobody feels you in the street. You will never appeal to the mainstream. You are the permanent opening act for the lower half of the indie scene. You are not making the impact. You have very few fans. You are a complete failure. You are not nice with your hands. Your legacy depresses me. Mediocrity for years. Your records move off the shelf as quick as normal for Barstool. Cheers. Here's an LP beat for free. I won't tax you. Save that money for the next time you need to hire a black man to rap with you.
Yeah.
Really bringing it back, man. Nobody still says Herb.
That
was your girl's pussy on my keyboard. How you think I made Vital Nerve?
Oh, you fucking slut. Oh, yeah. Come here, bitch.
Oh, fuck me.
Quick, get your ass up on this fucking keyboard. Yo, hold up.
Check this.
Flow fluently to frequently. Another MC will drop off the face of this earth. For what it's worth, I've been the nastiest one since birth.
Soon you'll see, as I flow fluently to frequently, another MC will drop off the face of this earth. For what it's worth, I've been the nastiest one since birth.
I'll do the simple shit, strike harder than Hoffa. L, the maladjusted MC, fun crusher. Massive, I sign for my condition. Automatic, all star connect. Thoughts get jostled at your position. Listen, abort mission without further discussion. Dual personality, half meek, half bum rock. Doc Jekyll when I burn your paragraph down to a haiku. So Tootsie roll the fuck back to your seat cause I don't like you. I got 100 beats, all nicer than your joint. Karaoke MCs need not receive G's, that's the whole point. Be out within the crowd, get open like herpes simplex. So vex, plus you find that I put more crush on cruise than jets. You're just that simple, plus overfunded, but that's the status. Go quote my shit, you better, and that's it. So stop the madness. But hip-hop guidelines, I stay I never liked authority. When sales control stats, I place no faith in the majority.
Soon you'll see, as I flow fluently to frequently, another MC will drop off the face of this earth. For what it's worth, I've been the nastiest one since birth.
Automatic,
just for my people.
Automatic,
just for my crew.
Automatic,
if you're watching, you'll get knocked out of the box and you'll deserve it too.
I analyze, people call me out, so son, catch it. MCs be disillusioned as hell, them can't hack it. I'ma knock you out your tax bracket. Slipped into the wrong hands, the mental barbarian. Stay fresh than Ziploc, money plot hatcher. How the fuck you gonna bring a go-kart to the Grand Prix? Laughter, headed for irreconcilable disaster. I'ma protect mine like a Japanese fighting sticks master. Aim, pierce a vital nerve to bloody conquest. Rappers, they be like Ultralax, bro. I sunk your battleship, Ultra, Magneto. Burning be burns my credo, met cry like when you realize you got a shirt full of infrared dots. Plus I'm scoping at this bitch. Be prepared for the mental headshots. When the cold full leave the room, we take a mic's bitches and boom. America. Your bleeding heart, liberal dribble gets squashed. Watching with sterilized rhyme, patriot guided weaponry bar from the makers of devious hearts. I'm America. You bitchy little dogs don't even phase my basic policy to bomb smarter. My Ronald Reagan's crush Carter with band pick tactics, making young men into martyrs. Come to my happy promised land, smiley face opportunity cipher, and jump on a cold flow pension plan. A proletarian crushing state of the union between serpentine words and mass confusion of media control blurb advertising disillusionment. Your family will love my low rent, low life, no brain, reality dagger. Movement. Hop over the border for amusement. Try to test the waters at the other slaughter crews bailed in. You up again, Jesus freak, forming corporations and young Republicans. Indelible NATO force hidden agenda pumping governments. I'm loving it. Keep the people guessing who I'm running with. Control the population and hide behind sacred covenant. Fucking with me.
Please, local wildlife burning gasoline seas. Standing on a magnetic third world planet with metal plates in the knees. Can't you hear the disenchanted hollow scream of Gabriel's reflecting new wind instrument of judgment played in flat sea? I replace humans like robots in a GM factory. Then explore metaphors and sweatshops. It's a price of satisfactory. Comprised to the rise of injustice, get met with apathy. So, cloaked hormone injected dairy products and conservative right wing anti eroticism. The poisonous reservoirs and power lines in the neighborhood cause botulism. Senseless, join the census. Censorship, sentences, sentence. Triple felon citizen, pay penance. Dissension against CFNs and penitentiary residents. Lock them up first and ask questions. Omniscient presence, my charm is the weapon. With cameras, mics, and satellites that leave privacy breathless. You don't even know the chemicals you've ingested. You're intested, beat innocent man till he confesses.
Who's America? Who's America? Who's America? Who's America?
I'm America. I'm America. I'm America. Mr. Land, get me.
America is now under martial law. All constitutional rights have been suspended. Stay in your home. Do not attempt to contact loved ones, insurance agents, or attorneys. Shut up. Do not attempt to think or depression may occur. Stay in your home. Curfew is at 7 p.m. sharp after work. Anyone caught outside the gates of their subdivision sectors after curfew will be shot. Remain calm. Do not panic. Your neighborhood watch officer will be by to collect urine samples in the morning. Anyone caught interfering with the collection of urine samples will be shot. Stay in your home. Remain calm. The number one enemy of progress is questions. National security is more important than individual will. All sports broadcasts will proceed as normal. No more than two people may gather anywhere without permission. Use only the drugs prescribed by your boss or supervisor. Shut up! Be happy! Obey all orders without question. The comfort you've demanded is now mandatory. Be happy. At last, everything is done for you.
Dear sirs, if the pavement comes alive, I'll flap a shower, toothy smile, comprised of traffic cones and manholes become eyes, and birds burst into flames while singing Satan's praises and fall into the sky and rain down ashy danger. If every office empties and all slaves walk in daisies to a pool of liquid money where they bathe blissfully naked and drugs no longer taunt me and flus around my conscience and every woman beating rapists is securely in their coffin. Every open hydrant in a Brooklyn Time summer moment is open up by cops and fold down into an ocean and rain is paid by bread literally. Parking isn't paid for. Food stamps can be planted and childhoods can't be damaged. Pride for power spaceships and safety ship to create it. Dynamite and gunpowder to the brains of all the faces. It's slurping nerve for bureaucrat life and bean counting slave owners. It's twisted in on itself and they shave off their own faces. The cocaine crack in a nation is collected in a top hat and force fed to the children of every CIA agent. And the dust has got an angel and an acre worth a rainbow. And the projects turn to clouds and the stupid are so proud. Disabling women's marbles of respected money slobbing pest. Ignite into a brilliant beam of light. Mercy is the rule, and the acceptance mercy true. When the desert comes to Brooklyn and the president goes to school, time flows in reverse, death becomes my birth. Me fighting in your war still, by a large margin, the least likely thing that will ever fucking happen, ever.
Okay, people, that's about it. Three's the magic number, episode 3. November 2008. Want to thank Mr. Dibs and Killer Jewel that wrecked the decks right there for that mega mix. Don't forget you can check them out at the following links, myspace.com/Killer Jewel, and of course myspace.com/Mr. Dibs, or you can alternatively check out MrDibs.com or KillerJewel.com. And don't forget you can check us out, RosenbergRadio.com, ConspiracyUK.com, ConspiracyBlog.net. Every show we've ever done is up on there for the past 2 years. And also check us out on Facebook, MySpace. Just type in Mr. Montana, type in Menace. Most importantly, type in Conspiracy Worldwide Radio. Anywhere on the net, you'll find us. Peace, everybody. We'll catch you next time. Three's the magic number. Rosenberg, Menace, Montana.